June 2nd, 2013. One Country has a strong statement about the Xbox One. Blizzard postpones its next MMO. And could legendary buried game cartridges in the desert soon be unearthed?
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, everybody out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio. For this, episode number 506, Second Mix, Jay Append, for this June the 2nd of 2013. I'll explain the title in a minute here. But welcome back to the show, everybody. Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Can we call this one a go-to mix instead?
Whatever you want it to be.
Can we have True Kiss Destination?
No.
Club Append.
They weren't that good. Let's be real.
Well, if their career didn't last that long. All Dreams right. Come True lasted longer than them.
Also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing, Loki?
Pretty good.
Excellent. And of course, my name is Rob Roberts, and we do join you live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. All right, so last week was a little weird. We weren't actually here live on Sunday. We did a special show earlier in the week, which we called episode number 506, but then it was brought to my attention, you're going to ruin all the like tracking of the classic game of the week and all these segments you usually do if you give a special episode a regular episode number. So I
just
broke it.
Put a blank in there. How damn hard is that?
Give it a letter.
It's fine.
It's episode R.
This we'll just have 506 second mix. It's a do-over. We'll do it live.
Because it's not an episode unless I'm here, let's face it.
So episode 2 was not an episode?
No, it wasn't. That was when I was sleeping in the Harry Potter room at the gay frat house.
All right. So last week you were in Alabama, right?
Yes.
And you were taking care of mostly some family stuff.
Yes.
But you did get to hang out with, like, you met, like, at least one OLR listener, right?
I got to hang out with Jammer Jay, who I have known for quite some time. And there's a little bit of background. About 10 years ago, we met up and played DDR together, and I got his games, and I think I got him, like, dinner. So this time, he paid for my games and got me dinner and took me to McGuire's in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. And I got shit-faced. I drank, McGuire's is like a small microbrewery, and they do, their own stouts and porters. I had a good porter, but then they served me this drink called an Irish Wake that's very green and served in a mason jar, and I consumed it, and I was very dizzy the rest of the ride, and then I got a sunburn in the shape, my tan line is in the shape of a seatbelt, because we were riding in a convertible, and I stopped caring about the sun. But we did go to Pace, Florida, and play a lot of DDR, and played some Adam's Family Pinball at another arcade at the Pensacola Beach. And then I spent some time with my mama son and papa son, and their roommates, Kristen and Bobby, a different Bobby, of course. And I got to see Derek, who is one of my very good friends.
And all these people none of our listeners know.
And my good friend Donovan, who they're both fixtures at Dragon Con. You may run into them.
Okay,
I got to see my very good friend Jen. She picked me up when my flight was changed from Gulfport to Mobile. Do not get me started on American Airlines, because fuck them.
I heard about your drama going. I'm on an airplane tomorrow, and you have me a little worried.
Are you doing American?
No.
Good. Fuck them.
Well, who owns US Air now? It's United, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I rode United back, and I had no problem. They even had a movie, and they had snack boxes that had Nutella in them. Mm-hmm. So, fuck you, American Airlines. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. At least they're refunding me $75 in toiletries and clothes that I had to buy. Guess what I found at Goodwill in Alabama? In Daphne, Alabama. I found a Charlie the Unicorn shirt. That says sparkle, 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 sparkle on it. I don't care if I can wear it or not.
Is there a Hot Topic in Alabama that could have come from?
Well, we had Gadzooks, I think. But at any rate, I bought a Charlie the Unicorn shirt at a Goodwill in Daphne, Alabama.
Nice.
So.
Nice. Shine the non-believer. anyhow, just a special note for our live listeners. We're aware that there's some errors where it's cutting in and out. It's nothing on our end. We're not doing anything out of the ordinary. There's no torrents or anything like that. So we're going to chalk this up to our amazing internet service provider. But we just got to keep on right on taping for the sake of the podcast. If you do get dumped from the stream, just click pause and play again if you're at live.vognetwork.com, and it should reconnect right away as soon as we come back. Unfortunately, I don't know what to do about it.
The joys
of live radio.
I might have upset the cosmic balance by my sewing.
Possibly.
I'm doing matronly things.
Can you sew the internet back together?
No.
Get a really big needle.
I have really tiny needles. Well, and I keep poking myself in the thumb.
That's not going to work. All right. So you missed our X-Bone special. Excuse me, our XB1 special. All the stuff about the Xbox One. Did you hear anything about Xbox One? Did you watch
it? Yes, and fuck all of it. Not getting it.
Now, wait a minute, Dark Sakura. And I think I said this on the show. Isn't it too early to make up your mind on this?
Right now, going by what I have, mm-hmm. fuck them.
And why so strongly? Why
because
the F-bomb?
I don't want to have a microphone and or a camera on all the damn time. The whole used games thing, fuck them. The whole downloading games, fuck them even more. If I'm going to download a game, it's going to be on my PC. Where, you know, if I buy another PC, guess what? My games will transfer.
Well, okay, well, to be fair, to play devil's advocate, what's the difference between getting a digital copy on your PC that you can't sell back and a digital... devil's advocate for a minute.
Because I can upgrade my video card. But I can upgrade everything on my PC and make everything look amazing.
So in a way, you're saying a PC is pretty much guaranteed to be backwards compatible, no matter what.
Pretty much.
Whereas the okay, I guess that's fair, because the Xbox 360, anything you downloaded.
I've been playing Loom.
You're just old school like
that. If I can play Loom, to Steam, if I can play all kinds of old PC, if I can play text-based games, if I can play Oregon Trail on my PC... I have no problem.
Mm-hmm. Going to our chat room at live.vognetwork.com, or of course, again, we do tape live every Sunday night right after Bobby Blackwolf at 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern on Sundays. Gamer Girl says, thank you, Dark Sakura. Clap, clap. That's exactly why I don't want one either. Koopa Kid Jeremy says, I think it's too early to decide that it's not for you. I kind of agree. Could anything at E3 end up swaying your mind? That's what I'm curious about. What if they come out and say, the big rumor is Killer Instinct. It's going to be one of the games. What if one of these 15 games is like, OMG, gotta have? What if there's a Homestuck game, Jamie? What if there's a Homestuck
game?
Well,
I know for a fact already that I don't think it's... Well, I think it's going to be PC anyway.
What if Mass Effect 4 is an Xbox One exclusive?
It's not. It's already going to be running on PC.
What if, Jamie? What if?
I don't know that would be enough because fuck EA. Now, keep in mind, as I've said before, I reserve judgment for more information, but as it stands right now, fuck them and the horse they rode in on.
So they need to make some big clarifications.
Yes, they do, or big changes. They need to realize, because I think that they say statements like this, and when they see people going, oh no, they go, oh shit, time to change it.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of where Sony might be at right now, because there's really nothing out there that has said the PlayStation 4 is not going to do the exact same thing. But I think Sony is very much kind of watching this whole thing. They're kind of like sitting up there with their little opera glasses looking at what's happening on the stage. You know, like, what is happening
and
to Microsoft?
To tell SSJ100 Matt, is Dan getting it? We're, I think, kind of on the same boat right now. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, you know, we aren't really the console gamers that we used to be. Did I tell you that my mom gave me an Atari PC game? We don't own the system, so actually I was looking for one. But, I mean, other than that, you know, we're not the big console gamers we used to be. Dan's really into sim racing. He's been, you know, hooking up his PC. I think that for him it's going to be more of the next Gran Turismo game. Of course, it's just going to be PS3, but he's going to probably stick Sony, you know. Especially, you know, if they say something that's going to counter all of the crap that Microsoft is saying. So it's sort of a wait and see kind of thing.
All right, well, I'm going to check in with you again after E3 and see if anything that has happened may have changed your mind.
Oh, and to tell Ragenator about fuck Activision, I did quit WoW before I went to Alabama. Now that everybody is reuniting in our guild.
Two people came back to WoW, Jamie. Two people. It's not everybody.
Well, we better do, like, an old raid or something before my account expires.
I thought your account already expired.
No, I've got a couple days left on it.
Oh.
I'll find out when it expires.
There you go.
And then let me do, like... Ice Crown
you
Citadel.
You should go to Karazhan and get the pets.
I want pets.
There's new pets in Karazhan.
Stop it!
Just saying.
Stop it. I stopped paying for it.
Wow, crack.
I did delete the beta, so that did free up a lot of space. But then I filled it up with like more games on Steam.
Isn't that how it always goes?
Shut up.
I just cleared off 100 gigs from my hard drive. God damn it, Steam sale. God damn it, Humble Bundle. God damn it.
Which
you don't
is
have
funny.
To install all of them.
No, I don't
yes,
have them all
do.
Installed. I have a bunch. I actually have like the majority of them not installed.
How dare you? I don't know when I might want to play. You just never know.
I
can never uninstall something because the minute I uninstall it, what happens? somebody
and Tiger
says,
Claw, Gran Turismo 6 has already been stated to be for PS3.
All right, anyhow.
Keep me strong, tie me to the mast. I will hear the song, but I shall not succumb. This is my finger. Well, I've got a needle in my hand. This is my finger raised at Activision and Blizzard. Sit and spin, motherfuckers. Or pay for my account.
Oh, boy. You're just... Is there anything in gaming you do like this week?
I started playing Mass Effect again. And guess what, Rob?
God, I just can't.
Like
I can't.
She won't get an Xbox One if it's Mass Effect 4.
Right, exactly. It totally answers my earlier question. Who is she fucking kidding? All right?
No!
Oh, I can resist playing another Mass Effect game.
Nope. No. LOL, nope. The minute Garrus in HD... Like,
there will not be a Garrus
this,
in...
Okay, here's...
They already said Mass Effect 4 is a different story.
Okay, here we go. Here we go, guys. Here we go. Okay, this is the first OLR comic strip I need somebody to draw, okay?
You can bite my ass along with Activision and Blizzard and EA.
Here it is. First panel. Dark Sakura holding a microphone saying, I will not buy an Xbox One. Fuck them. Fuck them in their stupid asses.
No.
And then, okay, ready? Second panel is a picture of the E3 press conference where EA and Microsoft are holding hands on a stage saying, Mass Effect Garrus Edition, Xbox One exclusive. And then the third panel is Dark Sakura walking into a Best Buy with a balloon that says, LOL, nope.
Probably.
LOL, nope.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm fairly certain that with a franchise like that, they will not make it an exclusive.
They won't. This is just fan wanking. Only saying this to get you ruffled, and it's working.
You know what? You are about to earn yourself the mother of all girl. Just saying. And okay, this is and to go ahead and put the blanket thing out there. Yes, I will get Mass Effect 4. Because I love the universe. I don't care how shitty the story is. I don't care how sparkly the turd is. I love the turd. I will buy the sparkly turd. Because I am a fangirl.
There's her little quote for the next show intro. I love the turd. All right.
You know what?
You love turd?
I have pointy things. You see all these little pins?
Yes, and you too can get points at VogNetwork.com. That's VogNetwork.com, where we announced earlier this evening on Bobby Blackwell's show all sorts of new loot now available on the site and an awesome new feature for covering conventions. There's a video to explain it all to you, but in a nutshell, you will be able to direct our very own network, Bobby Blackwell. He will be at E3. Answering your questions as you direct him on the show floor. It's all explained for you at e3.vognetwork.com. Check it out. Let's get into how was your gaming week, and we'll talk about the types of video games you've been playing this week. Dark Soccer, why don't you start us off?
LOL, Mass Effect.
Of course.
No. Guess what? I bought Dramamine so that I can do the makeup missions. God, I'm awful. I have ginger pills and Dramamine.
You bought drugs so you can play Mass Effect.
Yes. Because last time I had a nice 2-hour session of getting side missions out of the way, and I literally had to stop playing after, stop it. Do not YouTube me, Rob. Rab.
Have you ever played?
Don't watch what I'm doing over here. Fuck. Keep talking.
So I decided that I didn't want to get motion sick again, so I have plenty of things to keep me from getting sick to my stomach, hopefully, just because I get super motion sick on Mako missions. I also downloaded a bunch of it's called the ultimate high res mod or something for the first Mass Effect that has made my game look absolutely freaking gorgeous, like pretty. And so I'm still on the stupid first mission right after a dumbass get shot. Which we all know who dumbass is. Jenkins. Sorry. So I am right after that part in my game. And it kind of doesn't like all the mods, but I don't care because it makes my game pretty. And I play DDR.
So again, to clarify, you bought drugs so you could play a drug.
No. I had the gender
like
already.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Have you ever played Mass Effect?
Like I'm walking on sunshine.
No. And for the record, anyone who's a fan of the first Mass Effect that is interested in this mod, talk to me. So, I played a lot of DDR. Mm. My calves hurt for the next 2 days.
You gotta stretch.
My skin did.
You gotta stretch.
Oh, no, I stretched. I was freaking doing yoga in an arcade, okay? But it was very fun. And so, if you go to the one and only DDR machine in all of Pace, Florida, and you see D Sakura Explanation Point, that is me. On two whole songs. Two. And I passed
Until they reset the leaderboard at night.
Shut up. But I was feeling old, so I passed Superstar, and it made me good.
Congrats.
I also played a lot of Midway Arcade for tickets on my iPad.
I was like the classic Midway games, Joust and stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's on. But I was playing pool. I could not stop playing stupid pool.
If you just want tickets in that game, just play the skee ball. You can just go like this, fling, 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 tickets.
You play,
fling, 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 fling.
You play one game of pool and you get 200 points. Even if you scratch it on your first one, you still get 75 points.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah. So, I was like, pool, pool. I was so mind-numbingly bored because, like, people sleep. It's like I was still, like, okay, I actually managed to get off of West Coast time because of the 40 hours I stayed awake due to 9-hour layovers, another 3-hour layover, flight delays, waiting on my luggage, them lying to my face about where my luggage was. When I laid down on my grandmother's bed, for a moment I was like, oh, the bed's kind of crooked. And then it was daylight. So my time completely reset while I was there. But my night owl thing was like, it's 8:00 and I'm not out doing stuff. This is not me. So it was very bizarre. So yeah, I played a lot of Midway Arcade and Blazing Star. Because I have Blazing Star on my iPad and that game is awesome. The end.
The end. Loki, how about you?
Let's see. Well, this week I played more Saints Row the Third, just trying to finish up my last few achievements on there. And then also played a bit of Trackmania. We tried to do VOD Gaming Night on that. It just wasn't having. It was weird because I did everything correctly. Like one person was able to join my game. Everybody else was not able to join my game. And then we decided, hey, let's play a third-party server. So we just picked a server at random that we were able to connect to. And then it just like had the weirdest fucking tracks ever. Just these giant maze tracks that were impossible to figure out where the hell you're supposed to go. It was ridiculous, but we had a little bit of fun. So, and then I played a little bit of Cave Story Plus, and what else did I play? A very little bit of Call of Duty, because everyone was flaking the entire week. So that's pretty much it.
My gaming week. Over the Memorial Day weekend, I was staying with Captain Spike and Tim, who were on a previous episode a few weeks ago, and at their Memorial Day soiree. And so we played a few video games. I watched them play Trivial Pursuit on the Xbox, which was it was kind of frustrating how long that game was going on because, you know, it's Trivial Pursuit and LOL. And we went out to GameStop one day randomly to go find a cheap game to play. And we ended up buying Wheel of Fortune, or I should say Spike ended up buying Wheel of Fortune on the Xbox 360, and many lols ensued. What can I say about it? I'm like, you know exactly what you're going to get with a game like Wheel of Fortune, because you've seen the game show at some point in your life, yes? Although I have to admit the characters are a little bit derpy, and some of the unlocks are a little bit silly, but for $20, hey, it provided a little bit of entertainment and some really, really hilarious instances where we were solving puzzles incorrectly and throwing each other off and so forth. So that was fun. As far as other stuff I've been playing during the week, I was keeping it retro. And thanks to some conversations I was having on Twitter with not just Spike, but Jeremy from Koopa Club and some of the other people I talk with on Twitter, I was reminded that Mario 2 came out on Virtual Console for Wii U, and I was like, oh, I had that on the Wii, so I should just spend the dollar or whatever to upgrade it and play it. And not only did I play it, I played it from start to finish. Granted, I cheated and I used warps, but I used only Luigi the whole way through the game. In my nod to Year of Luigi, I beat Mario 2 using only Luigi. And I'm going to tell you what, those ice stages that you have to play, even when you warp, suck with Luigi.
Yes, they do.
Because I'm used to using the princess to just float through those little, you know, not the shy guys. What do you call the flying ones with the pitchfork? I don't remember their
the
names.
The flurries? No, the flurries are the guys dudes on the ground.
Yeah, the little dudes on the ground that look like little
Jigglypuffs. I don't remember what they're called. I call them bastards.
Yeah, they're little fuckers. So the little fuckers are flying in the air, and the princess is easy. You just float in between them. But not so easy when you're Luigi. But I did it. I did it. And I beat the game, and that was fun. So yeah, I was keeping it retro this week. I gotta say, there's something about Wii U Virtual Console, and I'm totally having to eat my words from what I said earlier on this program about a year ago when I was like, Wii U Virtual Console is going to be stupid. Why would I pay money to upgrade and da-da-da? Like, it's just a better experience, and I can't put my finger on it. I don't know if it's the HDMI. I don't know if it's the sound from the tablet and the sound from the speakers at the same time. I don't know, but it is a better experience. So, oops, I was wrong. It happens. So, yeah, I was having fun with Mario 2 on Virtual Console. And then I was playing Warcraft because, you know, I'm
addict.
Well, I hit 90 with my hunter, my Blood Elf hunter, my PvP character.
You
so I've been playing more PvP.
If you get Sassy to 90.
Sassy is 87.
In a row? No. When you get Sassy to 90, I will re-up WoW for 1 month. Just to play with Sassy. Because I like the braids. That they float.
Jeremy is... coaching me in chat, I guess, saying, you warped. I said I warped. My next goal is to do it without warping, but unfortunately I'm on a work trip this week, and then I have all the E3 stuff. I'm not going to E3, but there's other stuff going on. So it's going to be a little while before I can get through the game without warping, but that's on the list, except for the fact that Animal Crossing comes out Sunday, and then the list will be shot because, yay, Animal Crossing. All right.
It actually comes out Sunday. Yeah,
Nintendo games are usually
Last
Sunday,
of
right?
Us is coming out on Friday.
Oh, is it this Friday?
Next Friday.
Oh, the E3 Friday? Wow.
Yep.
Huh.
I don't know why.
Interesting. Well, I mean, if no other big games are coming out, then why not? Most of America doesn't go to E3, so it doesn't really matter.
Why a Friday street day? Just put it on Tuesday.
Why not? Just in time for the weekend. Why do movies sometimes open on Wednesday? They do.
Rob.
What?
Do you sometimes just wonder why? Do you ever feel not so fresh?
First of all, I am incredibly crescent fresh. And second of all, the answer to why? Because. And then deal with
See
it.
See if that works with a six-year-old, by the
with
way.
The floating sunglasses. Did you tell the child to deal with it and then have sunglasses land on
no,
your face?
No, but I'm going to do that next time.
You should.
That would be hilarious to see Julian's reaction.
All right, housekeeping. Visit our Twitter, twitter.com/OLR, and we are on Facebook as well, facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio, and on the Google Plus. And, of course, you want to visit our network, vognetwork.com, home to lots of great geeky podcasts and geeky content, including video game reviews. I know ActDef just reviewed Dust and Elysian Tale. It was on the... site this week, and then of course, as I mentioned before, lots of exciting stuff going on for E3, so check out e3.vognetwork.com. We will be the second site that you check, not the first, we'll be the second, and that's okay. We're number two, silver medal for Vogue. It'll be great. All right, let's get into some news. Speaking of Xbox One and all that, lots of clarifications since our last show. Yes, Logie?
A little bit. This isn't really much of a clarification other than just bragging. I think that they're saying that they're investing $1 billion into the, putting games on the Xbox One. So I'm assuming a lot of that has to do with the 15 exclusives that they, I guess, paid for and will be coming out the first year. And then didn't really hint at a whole lot of what's coming other than, you know, we know there's a Rare game coming and apparently Black Tusk Studios is working on something. Yeah, Microsoft Studios obviously working on stuff. You know, we know that there's going to be a new Forza. Remedy's got that Quantum Break game and EA's got some stuff. Not necessarily exclusive, but, you know, features that are somewhat exclusive, I guess. I don't know. So, yeah, they're spending quite a bit of money on that stuff. Of course, you know, we're going to have to figure out what that is. And, you know, maybe one of these announcements has to do with a bunch of these, you know, domains that they're registering, including domains pertaining to a title called Halo Spartan Assault, which doesn't sound like a, you know, like it almost sounds like an arcade game or something, like a spin-off. So, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Could it be maybe an upgrade or something?
I'm hoping it's not that. Remember, wasn't there supposed to be like a Kinect powered game or something like that? Remember, they were doing that with Gears of War, I remember.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a Kinect Halo game or something.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Joy, I can flail around and choose weapons and stuff. Didn't one of the Halo games, like ODST or something, incorporate Kinect? You could shout grenade and it would throw a grenade?
No, that was the Halo Combat Evolved HG thing.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, the Combat Evolved Anniversaries that they had where you can shout grenade.
There was a lot of Halo games.
I'm sorry, can you shout grenade faster than you can press a button? No.
No.
No, you cannot. And that's assuming that the Kinect hears you and understands what you asked for.
It would only be useful as if what you're yelling is, how do I throw a grenade? It just does it. Oh, hey, it worked. How do I throw a grenade? Anyway.
Win!
Speaking of the Kinect being able to hear you, one of the controversial things, of course, we got into during last week's show, I expressed that this concerns me a little bit. Dark Sakura certainly expressed earlier that this concerns her a bit. And you know who else is concerned? Germany. Well, anyway, the German Federal Commissioner for Data Protection and Freedom of Information. I did not know that such a position existed in Germany, but I guess it makes sense. Certainly, you want to make sure that everything is regulated when it comes to, you know, those exchanges, but, you know, to a fault. Anyhow, he calls it the Xbox One Kinect a monitoring device.
That's because it is.
It is. And yep. He goes on to say, under the heading game device, this is through a translation that he mentioned with the website Spiegel.de, but this is through a translation.
Spiegel!
Under the heading game device, Microsoft pushes a monitoring device in the market. The Xbox continuously records all sorts of personal information about me. Reaction rates, my learning or emotional states, these are then processed on an external server and possibly even passed on to third parties. Whether they will ever be deleted, the person cannot influence.
It absolutely is. It's what it is. It's marketing metrics is what it is. They're going to be listening to stuff that you're talking about, and they're going to advertise to you. They're going to target advertising. And it's just like on Facebook where they try to target advertising, but they're going to also make sure that, hey, are you paying attention to those ads? You know, what ads are interesting you? You know, that kind of stuff. So they're going into greater detail, and that information is worth a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
So on top of them making money off the console and live and all that stuff and advertising on the, you know, front page, even though you're paying for an online service, they're going to be selling your marketing data for a ton of money because they can do that. That's why you're getting achievements for watching TV. It's because you're watching the ads, because they're getting all that ad data.
Well, in Microsoft's defense, kind of the counter to this was from Microsoft Corporate Vice President Phil Harrison. And if that name sounds familiar, it's because he used to work for a different video game company, but now he works for Microsoft. And he was talking to Eurogamer about privacy concerns, and he said that Microsoft is a, quote, leader in the world of privacy. Continuing, we aren't using Kinect to snoop on anybody at all. We listen for the word Xbox on, then switch on the machine, but we don't transmit personal data in any way, shape, or form that could be personally identifiable to you unless you explicitly opt into that. What's interesting about that is that basically he's saying it is there. You just have to opt into it, right?
And I remember their excuse was, well, but you can turn the console off. You can power the console off.
But it's unplug still... it. That's stupid.
So it sounds to me like Microsoft is going to have to really clarify this. And it's a valid concern about this. You know, and I got into this last week is that I don't want no Xbox filming me when I'm running around in my underwear trying to get coffee in the morning or whatever. You know, I don't need that. You know, who knows? Who knows what might be said when I yell to Alan in the other room and suddenly I'm calling Dark Soccer on Kinect and things are awkward. You know what I mean?
All I got to say is you're going to be getting a lot of targeted Pinkberry advertisements.
And Keurig.
Right.
Pinkberry and Keurig.
Right.
I'll be there with you, except for the Keurig part, because I don't know. Except I'll buy enough of it.
Here's...
Just saying, if I ever get the console, I'm just talking about pornography whenever I'm in front of it.
Here's what I was thinking about, though, with the Xbox One, is that if I get one, which, you know, I'm still on the fence. I don't feel as strongly as Jamie does, what she said earlier in the show, but I kind of have very similar concerns to what she already said.
To me, it's very similar to how I felt with the Wii U. It's like, okay, that's cool. Do I feel like buying one right now? No, I don't feel like buying
but
one.
But I like that my Wii U is off. You know what I mean? And if I wanted to cover the little camera on the little device, I can do, or I can just flip it to the wall or whatever, and it still works just fine. You know, no worries, right? So here's my thing, is that I think Microsoft needs to clarify some of this, and I think they will. But in a way, if it's just left at what Phil Harrison is saying, he's basically saying, what? Don't you trust us? We're a leader in privacy information. Don't you trust us?
What are you talking about? No one got hacked before. Here's, money wasn't stolen.
Fact, guys. Fact. You want me to trust a company that, fact, sold a bunch of broken Xboxes that would break after, you know, several days of use? My Xbox 360 Red Ring 2 days after I bought it. That is a fact. Fact. I had money stolen from my Xbox Live account by a hacker, and to this day, Microsoft will not acknowledge that there was a breach, and instead they deflect blame on the user. That is a fact. And you want me to trust you? You need to be a little bit more transparent with what's going on. That's the reality. And if I want to turn that fucker off, then I should be able to turn it off. Period. It should not require that thing to be on for any reason. Here's my other question. What if I just unplug the fucking thing so it doesn't have a power source? What if I just unplug it when I don't want to use it? Is that going to cause it to malfunction? Because no. I could just put it on a switch have a little on-off switch.
They said, no, you don't even have to do that. You can. It's just like the PlayStation 3 where there's a power switch on the back of the console and you can flip it off. But they're just saying, though, if you're going to leave it in standby mode or whatever, that microphone's going to be always listening to you so that you can say on and it will turn the Xbox on.
You know what? I read 1984.
Hey, did we leave the Xbox on? Ah, fuck. It's turned on again.
Rama in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com says, say what you will about Microsoft, but they handled the security breach a hell of a lot better than Sony. Yes and no. Sony at least admitted there was a problem. I didn't actually have any money stolen from my Sony and that whole thing. Nobody hacked into that or stole anything. And Sony did have to give a lot away with that and the whole, you know, free games and everything. I'm not saying that makes it right. What happened with Sony was not cool and was something they needed to have their feet to the fire held to. But I kind of feel like that was done and they paid for that in the court of public opinion. I'm not so sure Microsoft ever had to pay for that, but they're going to pay for this in the court of public opinion. And you're starting to see it in, you know, what Germany is. I mean, this is much bigger news than you guys think. Germany is freaking crazy when it comes to privacy laws, which I don't think anybody here is going to really have a problem with, right? Germany is a leader in some regards in that, and when it comes to the privacy. So, you know, if it's going to come to the point where, like, yo, the Xbox will not be sold in Germany unless they allow you to turn it off, that's going to cause a policy change. It's going to have to.
I think it's stupid anyways to have, because let's just assume, I understand that the interface stuff uses the Kinect. Whoopty shit. Do I need to use that? I mean, is that really something that I need to use? I mean, why even bother with it? Just have it where you can unplug it, and if it's a game that requires Kinect, and I mean requires it, not like shouting grenade or some bullshit like that, but if it requires Kinect, then have it plug in. That way they can still program the games because they know that there's going to be a Kinect there. You just plug it in. But, you know, the whole thing is, if it's not going to work with the Kinect, you know, what if a cat knocks the Kinect off your shelf and it breaks? Fuck, now you can't play your console because your stupid Kinect that you weren't using anyways for stuff is just, it's broken.
All right, in the interest of time, I'm going to go ahead.
One little question.
Final thought.
Wasn't it also Germany that sort of had Nintendo by the balls for legalities?
It was didn't the whole zombie you sell late at night thing, wasn't that a Germany-rooted thing? Yeah.
So, and we saw how, you know, they had to work out a deal to get that to go. So I think that whatever comes out of Germany, if it doesn't fly illegally on the international stage, they're going to have to make changes.
All right. Regardless, admittedly, we are making a lot of opinions here based on cloudy information. So Microsoft, I look to you to clear up some of this cloudiness at E3, and we will reformulate our opinions at that time if need be. But this just shows there are questions that have to be answered. Let's hope Microsoft answers them in a week. We'll know. Well, a week and a half. In a week and a half, we'll know. Hopefully this will all be over. And it'll all be just a dream. It'll be like that one season of Dallas. Anyway, Dark Soccer.
Well, speaking of international stage, the Xbox One is going to be region locked. So everything that comes out must match the region. And this is something Microsoft told Digital Trends. I mean, we've already pretty much seen this anyway. It's not a big surprise. But they are going to keep everything to country-specific guidelines before they're cleared to sail.
I hope it's just because I think before they were saying that it was up to the developer whether or the publisher or whatever they wanted it to be region locked or not. Because a lot of games for the Xbox, I mean, they don't go advertising it, but a lot of them are region free.
Yeah.
It's just that not everything is, and a lot of them are not. But it's kind of a mix. Whereas, you know, everything on the PlayStation 3 is region free.
Yeah.
So I think if they leave it how it is, then that's fine, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
If it is up to the studio, that's one thing, but the quote here says, must match.
Yeah, this is...
It's very...
I mean, here's where I'm at with this, unclear. Is that it's one of those things where I hear this, and I'm like, okay, yet again, it's something that's a little unclear, and it's a little disappointing, but sadly, I can't go, well, Microsoft, I totally blame you for doing this, because it's a really unfortunate, it's a real unfortunate trend. The only thing we saw that really bucked the trend recently was the PlayStation 3, and what, the original DS was region-free?
The DS, yes. The PS, all the handheld systems up to the 3DS were region-free, mm-hmm. and then the PS3 was region-free as well.
So I can't fault Microsoft alone for this. But I think it is worth saying, and we've said it many times on this show, being that this show started out of a very Japanese-centric video game, bunch of games, including Beatmania, you know, and Dance Dance Revolution and all that. You know, I think there's going to come a time when companies need to realize, gaming companies, tear down this wall.
Yeah.
Why do we keep separating?
We are a global community.
I mean, yeah, we're becoming more and more this global economy. There's a lot of people here who would like to play some of the shit that's out in Japan. There's a lot of people in Europe that would like to play some of the stuff that comes out here. It's like, when are we going to get a global console? Why does everything still have to be separated? And I know you're all sitting there answering the question for me that, well, it has to do with licensing, especially when you get into those music-based games. A lot of it is licensed by region. But I'm just saying... You know, the internet has got to force some of our ways of thinking in this dealing to modernize. And we need to globalize some of this stuff a little more and make more games region free, because I'm going to be open and honest. Region locks on the PlayStation 1 is what drove me to piracy.
I don't think there's really a whole ton of like region locking on like iOS games or anything like that. And I mean, let's be honest here. Now, there's not all these iOS games that have like, you know, great soundtracks and, you know, high development costs, that type of thing. But there are a few, and I know there are some music games out there that aren't region locked. So why can they get away with it, but, you know, the consoles can't?
Well, this is what I think. If you leave everything completely region free and then just impose import taxes, you know, it's the same thing like I've sort of suggested being done for companies that outsource. You know, tax the crap out of them so mm-hmm. that they'd be more inclined to keep jobs over here. Mm-hmm. But other than that, if a company is going to have, you know, say that everything's region free, will then make it a little bit more expensive to import. Have an import, you know.
Well, I'd always thought it was really cool that, you know, there were a handful of games on the 360 that were Japanese where they didn't bother to translate them, but they
like
put them
Death
up.
Death Smiles?
Yeah, that they just put them up on the marketplace. Like, if you want to pay $40 for it, here you go. Yay!
We bought like that Death Smiles special edition, yeah. which was pretty much exact same.
Yeah, I wish more game companies did that stuff.
Well, they did just did that. They had a new Don Apache game that came out. Slide.io. Cool.
Well, I mean, if they are going to region lock the Xbox One or whatever, I hope we see more stuff like that. But I just think region locking is kind of a dated thing. Anyway, more news.
Yeah. So let's see. Let's talk a little bit about Sony and get away from Microsoft here. Sony is going to be forcing all publishers and developers to have their titles that are going to be on the PlayStation 4 compatible with Remote Play on the Vita. I think that's kind of cool, actually. More reason to buy a Vita.
It's a smart little jab at Nintendo, and the fact that a lot of the whole Wii U is the whole off-screen play, Nintendo won't be able to claim exclusivity to that anymore. Although, granted, the Vita is a separate device, it's probably going to cost you more to do it via the PS4. It's a logical movement of the chess piece, if you will.
But it's even better, though, than like just off-screen play with the Wii U, because if you're in a Wi-Fi hotspot somewhere else, and I'm assuming that this is all going to be streamed through their Gaikai stuff now, you're going to be able to play your games away from home.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I was just assuming it would be very, and I didn't even think it would necessarily be Wi-Fi, but that's very interesting.
Yeah, so I think it's just going to be wherever you are. So that'd be kind of cool.
That would be really cool if it would work, but like if you have an internet connection like what we have here trying to do the show,
you know that
it might drop out. LOL, game over.
You know what that makes me think of, though, just as a concept? Back in the days of Neo Geo, where you had the memory card where you could play on the arcade and then take it home if you had the system, wouldn't it sort of be almost the same thing? Especially perhaps, if you incorporated the share function?
Actually, Jamie, now that I think about it, you know, the PS3 and the PSP, yes, PSP, do this today. We've talked about this on the show, how this is a horribly underlooked feature of these consoles. But if I'm at a friend's house on their Wi-Fi, if I have my PlayStation 3 set to listen for it, I can power on my PlayStation 3 from my friend's house and over the Wi-Fi navigate my PlayStation 3. I mean, all this technology is there right now. It's just that it's slow as shit and you can't play games through it. You can only do things like watch movies, and even then they're going to be a little bit shoddy. Maybe music.
But look at where the technology is going to be in 2 years.
Exactly. Now that Sony has Gaikai, what if PlayStation 4, and Loki, I think you hit the nail on the head, what if the PlayStation 4 is a Gaikai box and they're leveraging that technology to oomph that up a lot?
I mean, we're already looking into these massive advancements in communication regardless. I mean, they're already working on quantum communication. You know, what's to say that in 5-10 years this is going to be the norm?
Well, it's always harder to look ahead in a way, because honestly, think back to when we were like 9 and 10 years old, or even, we'll even go a little later, you know, something that, you know, because I know a lot of our listeners are younger, something that maybe a lot of you guys remember. So think to the time that was like 1990, 91 or so, when the Super Nintendo was big and the Super Nintendo was first coming out. It was like when you first saw that Mode 7 for the first time, it's like, oh my God, I'm really flying. This shit is real.
Or Star Fox.
Right?
And Stunt Race.
I mean, that shit was amazing. And we were like, this is like real on my
TV.
This
is the future.
This is the future. And like, who would have thought anything like Blu-ray would exist 25 years from then, which is where we are now.
And then it would be replacing, you know, DVD. All of us back in the day who said Laserdisc was the future, we were right. All of that came from Laserdisc technology.
In a way.
Yeah, but digital encoding.
Who knew that we would be replacing all of our TVs?
Who knew we wouldn't have to change sides?
Who knew that the government would come in and say, everybody must switch from analog to digital? Like, we are going to switch as a country from analog to digital signals for TV. Like, that's just, you know, you don't know. So who knows where we're going to be in 25 years?
Who knew?
It's exciting and scary.
Back when I was playing Kangaroo on the Atari 2600, that I would be playing Mass Effect today.
Who knew 3 years ago on this show when you were like, I don't want to play that game. It's like a stupid,
you know,
shoot 'em up. I don't want to play that. I don't more like dumb effect.
I don't want to romance the blue chick, which I did once just so I could dump her, which was hilarious. Just saying.
All right. Anyhow. Well, in about 25 years, that might be the time when you can actually play Blizzard's next MMO. They've been working on a new game that's called Titan, but that's a code name. That is not the final name of the game. That's just the code name internally. But it came out this week from a site named VentureBeat that there have been some big changes with Titan. Blizzard internally has postponed this game. There were 100 people working on the project, but this has been reduced to 30. The other folks have been put to work on other games. Titan never had a release date. It was never really confirmed by Blizzard. But again, rumor and all this, you know, speak is saying that now the game will not be ready until 2016. Well, now, usually I would just say, whatever, it's a rumor, you know, I don't know what to think about this. But the network XAM, which runs some popular World of Warcraft sites like Wowhead, if you've played WoW, you probably know that site, wowhead.com.
Oh, Wowhead.
They reached out to Blizzard, and Blizzard actually said, quote, "We've always had a highly iterative development process, and the unannounced MMO is no exception. We've come to a point where we need to make some large design and technology changes to the game. We're using this opportunity to shift some of our resources to assist with other projects while the core team adapts our technology and tools to accommodate these new changes. Note that we haven't announced any dates for the MMO." they kind of confirmed it by saying that, which is really weird. Like, you just would not expect Blizzard to be that transparent, but they said that. So, but if you kind of look at what they're saying, they're holding the game back to make technology changes. That says to me, this thing has been in development so long that now it's looking old.
It's been in development Duke Nukem forever long.
In a way. I mean, I don't think it's been in development Diablo 3 long, but it's getting there. This thing's been in development for quite a while. Now, granted, I for one can't get upset about a game I know literally nothing about. I mean, it's exciting to know that Blizzard is working on some secret unannounced project, but I'm very happy to hear that nobody was laid off. And if they shifted these people to other resources, that just means their other shit will get done faster, like Hearthstone. The next WoW expansion might be that much better for it. Maybe this Blizzard Dota clone that's all stars Blizzard characters, maybe that will be that much better and will actually come out sometime soon. Maybe we'll see that at BlizzCon. Who knows? But so I can't say I'm going to get upset about this news, especially hearing that they're going to shift the resources elsewhere. But, you know, it's a little bit, you kind of want to go, I wish I could see what Blizzard's going to do that's like, that's not Warcraft. Or that's, and granted, this could be World of Warcraft 2. We know it could be. But I
don't know. It took Ragnarok Online long enough to get to a sequel.
I sort of think, I don't know, tinfoil hat maybe, but I sort of think that the next WoW expansion is going to finally give that big graphical upgrade that's going to modernize it, and they're not going to need a World of Warcraft 2. Like, I just don't see Blizzard trying to make that happen, because it doesn't always happen so well for other MMOs. But then again, Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2 coexisting fine. Final Fantasy 11. Final Fantasy 14 Reborn, too soon to tell, but looks promising.
Final Fantasy 14, sorry, pretty.
Yeah, no, I know.
Cannot wait.
Well, that's the importance of technology. So, all right, anyhow, one more story and then release dates. Dark Sakura.
Well, in other news, and God, what a disgusting ad on this page. Okay, who remembers the rumor, the big urban legend about a bajillion Atari 2600 ET cartridges being buried?
I've definitely heard that. But they were melted down before they were buried.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I think that's important to know.
Well, there is an Ontario-based production company called Fuel that has signed a deal with the... basically, it's a town in New Mexico. I'm going to ruin this. Alamogordo, thank you. Where the landfill that supposedly all, not just E3 cartridges, but a ton of Atari prototypes. Prototype games, prototype systems, anything that was in development that they ended up not releasing going into this dump. And the city has given this production company permission to go digging through the dump. They're going huge dumpster diving in a landfill.
This is digging up a dead body to see what the real cause of death was. This is what this is. To do a DNA test.
To give history to the urban legend, they basically believed, and it wasn't melted down, that they were crushed and loaded into semis and then buried. But the basically the mayor of there is saying that they want people to find out about the town because of the landfill. They're hoping is good PR.
So now
for
it's
the
a
town.
Tourist thing. We have a bunch of shit games in the dumpster back here. Although, well, you know what? If they're prototypes and stuff too, though, that's the real gold mine.
Well, and you know that there are people who have I'm saying escaped with prototypes, in jest.
Yeah.
But you find a lot of 5200 prototypes online for sale, where people have gotten legit ROM dumps and reconstituted them. For sale. Our copy of Millipede for 5200 was a prototype.
But they crushed these. I mean, I'd always heard they melted them down, but crushed makes a lot more sense. That you put them in the trash compactor and they crush down. They did that so that looters wouldn't dig them up and try to sell them. So, I mean, but then what's the point? You're going to dig up literally garbage that doesn't work. It's 25 years old. Those things, if a board is sitting outside a case that long, it's not going
to
work.
But if a memory chip happens to have been compressed within...
Good luck.
I know, but the whole thing is that there's a chance that it exists. And people who, especially big video game history buffs, Atari fans, they're going to drop... You know, at the opportunity to see if there is anything salvageable.
Dungeon Buster in our chat
for the
room.
Record, E3 ET sucks.
Dungeon Buster in the chat room at live.vognetwork.com says, I hope that doesn't turn into another Capone's vault. Will Geraldo Rivera be there when they unearth the big massive ET cartridges? Will he be there live?
Does he have a career still? No.
So yes, he will be.
Didn't the angry video game nerd, like, that was like the basis of his movie, was going to the dump to find if the game exists?
I don't even know. I never saw it. All right. Well, if we're done with the Atari story, I want to go back real quick to the Titan thing, because Technus in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com made a very good point about this, and I want to throw this out there. Technus says, I would speculate that Bungie beat them to the punch with Destiny, and they needed to reset after Activision picked up Bungie. That's a really good theory, because, again, rumors and whisperings and, you know, who knows how much we can lend to this, but I did hear that Titan was quite a bit like what Destiny sounds like it's going to be, that it was less of a shooter per se, but that a lot of the same stuff they're talking about implementing with Destiny was supposed to be the types of stuff they were doing in Titan 2. You know, take with a gigantic grain of salt. Take with an entire can of salt, actually. Take with all the salt in the ocean.
Salt lick.
There you go.
I have to quote Queen Simia in chat. They find Hoffa under the pile. Plot twist.
Masked Bishop with some strong opinions on Realm Reborn. By the way, Final Fantasy XIV Realm Reborn will succeed. If you think Square Enix will let the Final Fantasy franchise fail, you're sadly mistaken. Final Fantasy XIV Realm Reborn will be the next game changer. I'll say this much. It's impressive that the second half of what he said at least is true, because Square Enix put a lot of money to basically redo the fucking game from scratch.
And you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can really tell.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting.
Free to play Final Fantasy XI. Come on. Come on.
Wouldn't that be?
Come on.
Wouldn't that be something? We'll see. All right. Let's check out some games that will be coming out a little bit sooner than Final Fantasy 15 or whatever else we're thinking about here. Release dates.
All right. So this week we've got PlayStation 3, or on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, Remember Me, coming out from Capcom, receiving kind of mixed reviews, but whatever. Animal Crossing on the 3DS, or Animal Crossing New Leaf on the 3DS, because there's one single new leaf in the game, and then the rest is all the same as the last one. The Skyrim, Elder Scrolls V Skyrim Legendary Edition, kind of a re-release of the game with the DLC on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PC. And at long last, if you don't have the internet and you want to play Minecraft, Minecraft on the Xbox 360, the Xbox 360 version is coming out as a disc version.
That might be a good one for the Xbox 360 in the kids' room.
Yes.
That's not hooked up to the internet. I could see that being a plus, because Minecraft's a pretty friendly kids' game.
It is an awesome game. So yeah. There's that. And that's pretty much it this week.
All right, coming out in Japan on the PlayStation 3, Galgun gets a price reduction into the best series.
Haha, yeah.
And there's another game called Nerawatera Gakuen Geki Juban Anime and Complete Setting Book Hybrid Disc. So I think this is actually the anime and like a game based on the anime all on one disc. That is my... Because you've seen this happening more and more in Japan, where you get like the bundled Blu-ray that has a game and a movie, or at least, you know, two separate Blu-rays or whatever in a bundled collection. On the Xbox 360, Halo Origin Pack this week in Japan for all you Halo fans in Origin. Also, Minecraft Xbox 360 Edition, the standalone game, is out in Japan as well. And a new Camouflage 360 wireless controller in Japan. I guess this is to go with the Halo Origin Pack. Which, by the way, quickly, while it's on my mind, do you think Microsoft at E3 is going to have anything to kind of throw something at Japan to try and make it work there?
I don't think they're going to try.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought I read somewhere that they did say they are committed to Japan, but that could have just been smoke up my ass. I don't know.
I think it's smoke up their ass.
They'll release a game with a pillow and a clock. And
it's just that I think the market's so small there now. It's just, I mean, I don't know. They're just more focused on the larger
Microsoft's market is small, but certainly there's handhelds is really what it seems to be about. But.
I don't know.
Nothing of note on the PlayStation Vita this week. Looking at... Oh, I already did Xbox 360. Way to go. Seeing if there's anything on the Wii U. Actually, yes, Rabbids Land is supposed to be out in Japan this week. The game that got delayed here is supposedly coming out in Japan. So
no, Rabbids Land was a launch title for the Wii U.
Oh, I'm thinking of the other Rabbids game.
Yeah, you're thinking of Rayman Legends.
My bad. Let's see. On the 3DS in Japan this week, nothing of note. On the PSP this week, God Eater Burst gets a price reduction. So lots of price reductions this week, but really not a lot of new games until we get to about June 20th. Seems to be when the next batch of big games comes out. Really nothing to say on Nintendo 3DS either. Japan gets Donkey Kong Returns 3D next week on the 13th, and a metallic red DS to go with that. I did pick up Donkey Kong Country Returns, by the way, for my DS. I haven't really played enough of it yet to review it, though. On my plane ride this week, I plan to play some more of it, so I'll let you know.
Did I tell you we might finally be getting 3DSs?
Oh, no. That's great.
Because there's going to be like a new massive... I know Apollo Justice is in it. I'm trying to remember.
Oh, a Phoenix Wright.
Phoenix Wright, thank you.
Yeah.
A new game coming out and Fire Emblem. And then I won Animal Crossing.
All right. How about the UK? What's coming out over there?
Some stuff. On the 3rd, we have Gunpoint for PC and Scrolls for PC and Mac. And on 7th, we have Remember Me, PC, Xbox 360, PS3, and that would be it.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, oven. Just a couple more stories for you guys, and then the classic game of the week. But first, Loki.
So this is kind of, I guess, the best news that could come out of the situation, because we know that this is only alluding to worse things to come on the next-gen consoles. But EA is eliminating, they already went ahead and said that they're not going to have the online pass in any future games, and now they're going back and retroactively taking away the online pass from all the old games as well. So the online pass now is free. So if you want to, you know, play a used EA game that had the online pass, you buy the game, and then you activate the online pass for free. So that's nice.
There's just something about this.
And
I don't know
what
it is.
They're all, as we just continue online pass for our new EA titles, we're also in the process of eliminating it from our existing EA titles. We heard the feedback from players and decided to do away with the online pass altogether. Yeah.
I don't trust them.
I totally believe that, yeah. Oh, what we're doing is wrong.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. And maybe I am just being a jerk, but it's like one of those things where it's like, are you sure that when you download the free thing, it doesn't say, but you are giving us your soul? Like, are you sure there's nothing in there like that? I just worry.
I'm sorry, but I know better. It's so much bullshit. I just don't believe any of that crap.
I roll my eyes.
We've made too much money, America and the world, then we're just going to stop making extra money now, because we have all the money that we need to run those servers now, so we don't need any of your online passes anymore, because servers all of a sudden got cheaper to run. No, I'm sorry. This is a company that makes money. They're not going to say, hey, we hate money all of a sudden.
Right?
No.
There's just something I don't trust. Call me a conspiracy theorist.
Or maybe, you know, if I take this as an actual legit sign, maybe it's them trying to get away from the business tactics of the former CEO.
Now you're being nice.
I know. I've decided to play Angel's Advocate.
Or it could be in-game purchases in Dead Space 3 in future games.
But if I want to put it at a non-conspiracy theory point of view, even though I trust EA as far as I can pick up the entire building and nudge it, maybe it is trying to separate themselves from former business practice.
Or it's trying to get people to install Origin, which I will not fucking do. No.
Tiger Claw with a theory in chat at live.vognetwork.com says EA removes the online pass so people can play the used games online. And then a few months later, EA shuts down the online servers to those games.
Actually, that is kind of funny. But here's the thing with some of these games. They're not online games. That was the thing that was the funny part about the online pass. Remember, like, Dragon Age Origins, Dragon Age 2.
Mass Effect 2 had that Cerberus pass, and it wasn't really... You didn't play online.
But it was
DLC.
My hope is that with all of this, that it means I won't have to fucking be online for my DLC in Mass Effect 3 to load, because I paid for a lot of it. Okay, I'm a consumer whore. I don't care.
And how.
Yeah, mister, I'm going to buy Mass Effect 3 Trilogy and own it on Xbox and PC.
You know what?
You know what? You're worse than me, okay? Okay, maybe I play more than you do.
I play other games too, though. All right.
You're seriously like my dealer, you and Shane. I blame you for everything that
Shane's
happens in
worse,
my life.
Shane's worse, though. Come on.
Shane is worse.
Shane is far worse.
And I haven't started on Persona, so.
There you go. Don't resist.
I will resist. My will is strong. Will is titanium.
By the way, there's now music from Persona 4 in rotation at VogNetwork.com. Just saying. I just put some in today.
You know what? I actually kind of. I'm playing too much shit already.
All right. Going to one more story here. This actually came up last week, but it's too good for us to skip completely on our show. We've got to mention it. Actually, maybe it. I don't. When did this finish? I think it finished like on Saturday or Sunday of last week. But anyhow, here's the deal. So did you guys ever check out the iPhone and Android game Curiosity? What's in the cube? It's yeah. Peter Molyneux's Dick in a Box. Remember this game where you tap the little cubelets?
If this was last week, this was me not having much in the way of internet access, except for Tumblr.
It finally, what was in the box was revealed. Some dude opened
the box. You win nothing! You're so stupid!
Well, here's what's amazing. The guy who won is an 18-year-old guy, Brian Henderson. He lives in Edinburgh, and he won. And the great thing about it, he ended up tweeting or saying in an interview, I don't remember where it was, but he said, yeah, I had just downloaded the game an hour before I won it. So what was in the goddamn cube?
See, I would have played at the very end, too, if I had remembered that it was ending, but I was just like, I don't fucking care.
Guess what was in the goddamn cube. I'm sure many of you have heard, but here's what was in the cube. Now 22 Cans is they did Curiosity. Their next project is like a populist reimagining called Goddess. Well, Brian will be the god in Goddess at the Stardust. No, but he will be in.
You don't know shit.
I can't believe this. Some new kid from the street won this. You don't know shit.
A show
you are a whore, darling.
A show where we can fall into showgirls quotes is a good show.
That game is called Goddess, and it just makes me think of
showgirls. Sorry, Nomi Malone.
That's right. Nomi Malone from Edinburgh. I'm sorry to this kid. This poor kid didn't ask for this, so I'm very sorry. But I'm going to make the joke anyway.
I'm doing the hand flashies in my head.
Nomi Malone from Edinburgh, open the cube, and we'll get to be the god in Goddess. And apparently, not only will he be the god, but he will have a hand in creating the rules that will govern the game. So it's his rules or get out. And Brian gets to share in the revenue generated by Goddess. But they're saying in 1 year, he could be pushed down a flight of stairs and a new
or slip on ice.
And a new goddess could emerge. Here's the thing. When did this whole thing, this cube thing launched, like what, 7 months ago, right? Didn't Goddess get kickstarted midway through this project?
Kickstarted?
Yeah, that's my new verb. Didn't it get kickstarted?
Or would it be kickstarted?
Kickstartered, because the website is Kickstarter.
Okay.
Not kickstart. All right.
Are you going to kickstart my heart? No.
So Goddess got kickstarted halfway through the run of Cube. What if it hadn't gone through? Then what would have been in the cube? I got you.
No.
You are making this shit up as you go along, Peter Molyneux. I got you.
What is it? Schrödinger's box or whatever? It's basically...
There's a dead cat who's not dead.
Yeah, so it's Goddess, but not Goddess. We won't know because it was Goddess in the box and not Goddess dead having eaten the poison. You know what it had been? It would have been a dog. He would have adopted a dog for you. It would have been life-changing. The dog. Or, guess what? I've got this boy named Milo, and you're going to adopt him. He's going to change. Having kids is going to change your life. Milo will change your life.
No, Milo needs his diaper changed every 5 seconds, and you'll want to die.
All right, well, we reached out to Peter Molyneux for comment on Goddess, and this is what he had to say.
Must be weird not having anybody come on you.
I don't. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? That was a quote from Showgirls. Get it?
All right. I will give you the best Fable game ever made. It's Fable Well, Fable the Journey. It uses Kinect. It's fantastic.
It's not on rails.
It's not on rails.
Oh, shit. All right, let's go.
Hey, I'll tell you what. You know what I've been inside the box if perhaps Peter Molyneux wasn't backing this and it was the Steam box? Hats. Would have been fucking hats. Lots of hats. Hats, hats, hats.
Let's travel, or let's travel
Do
back.
Do they have like a GIF or GIF?
I think it's funny that we both grunted at him at the same time.
I don't care what he said. It is GIF. I do not care. I disavow him.
Anyway, wouldn't it be awesome if they had like an animated GIF that had like, you know, the Matrix thing where all these hats come in? We're going to need hats.
Okay, Rob, you sounded like Grover slash Yoda.
Near? Far. Let's travel back to a time when gaming was so much simpler. When, you know what, Elizabeth Berkeley was Jesse Spano and you hadn't seen her boobies yet. It's a much simpler time. It's the classic game of the week. Dark Sakura, what is the classic game of the week?
Sonic R. Yes, it is Sonic R. I have finally decided to do fucking Sonic R. So, Sonic R was done by Traveler's Tales and Sonic Team, and it came out on the Sega Saturn and Windows. It was out for Windows, which actually, if you've got a decent graphics card, the Windows version actually looks a lot better and plays better. It came out in the U.S. on October 31st, 1997, and then later it came out in Europe, Australia, and Japan all at the same time and was re-released for PlayStation 2 and the GameCube as part of the Sonic Gems collection. It is basically the third Sonic racing game and the last of two games that was done by Traveler's Tales and Sonic Team. So basically, it's a huge foot race. That's what the game is. And it's single or multiplayer. You can race. You have 10 different Sonic characters. And, you know, you can pick up, like, you have to collect rings on the way to open up different parts of the racetrack. You also can get, like, different shields, like what's in Sonic 3. Like, you can actually get a lightning shield that attracts rings to you. And you have different areas that are sort of based off of various places in the different Sonic games. Like, you have a place that looks like the Green Hill Zone and a place that looks like the Chemical Plant. You have those item panels, like I was talking about, that give you different abilities as you go. Like, you can run on water or attract rings. And then you get Sonic Tokens and Chaos Emeralds. And the Chaos Emeralds help you unlock secret characters. You also have different kinds of weather. You have clear, you have rain, you have snow. But the snow does make the water freeze, so you can run over it instead of being slowed down by it. And you have a time attack mode to see basically who has the fastest time. So the characters in this one is you have Sonic, and he has double jump. He's also the fastest. Tails actually has the ability to fly. Knuckles can glide. And then you have Amy Rose, who actually drives a car. And she can hover over water and gets extra speed boost. For your secret characters, you have Robotnik, also known as Eggman. He has a hovercraft and can resist terrain. You have Metal Sonic. You have a Tails doll. And you have Metal Knuckles. You have Egg Robo. And Supersonic. So basically, when you have all the Chaos Emeralds, you can play as Supersonic, and you just sort of float over everything. The game actually came out after Sonic 3D Blast, when Sega was working with Traveler's Tales on a different Sonic game. And they had also been working on a 3D graphics engine that they didn't really have anything for, so they decided to work with Sonic Team to make the game. Pretty much just everything that came together. So there's actually even a Sonic R that came out on the Tiger handheld system. Of course, you know, like I said, there was the Sega Saturn version that actually had some really bad problems with draw distance and clipping. But the PC version let you use better rendering and 3D acceleration, and you could adjust the draw distance. So basically, like today, you could have no draw distance at all in the game. It would be gorgeous. The music was done by Richard Jacques of Sega Europe, who also did the music for Sonic 3D Blast. And he basically worked with Yuji Naka to basically design the musical feel of the game. And that's where we got the Supersonic Racing. And then the singer in this one, now this I didn't know, her name is TJ Davis, and she did all of the singing in it at Yuji Naka's request. So basically, it was done by a London studio. The music came out of London. I think it's a fun game. It's sort of, you know, not like the world's best Sonic game, but it's a really fun game. And from that, we also got there were two games that came out before Sonic R. There were Sonic Drift and Sonic Drift 2 for Game Gear. And then after that, you know, we've gotten Sonic Riders, we've gotten Sonic Riders Zero Gravity, Sonic Free Riders, Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, and the Transformed version as well. Those are all pretty much born out of the Sonic R franchise. And, of course, the music is, you know, pretty much the big iconic thing about it. It's not the most gorgeous game, but it's super fun, like we said. You know, we say a system is only as good as the games that are on it, but the games are also can be absolutely amazing without having to look, you know, absolutely gorgeous. You know what I mean? And this is one of those that falls into that that category. So my game of the week is Sonic R.
This is one of those games that to me just made sense. Like Sonic in a racing game. Why did it take so long?
Kind of right.
And it did have some good music. Just
Super Sonic Racing was in Sonic R, Tiger Claw.
All right. There it is, your classic game of the week, Sonic R. Good pick. Have you done every single Sonic game yet? You got to be getting close.
I've done a few of them, but right. Keep in mind, there's a bunch of crap out there in the Sonic franchise, yeah. And I would get Sonic herpes or something.
All right. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, there is still more news to come, and the Fugle question of the week.
Oh, and to tell What Up G, Same music in Japan. All out of the London studio.
So there's none of this whole one soundtrack?
No, there's not.
Okay, just making sure. Good, at least we can all agree on something. Okay, plenty more to come when Orange Lounge Radio returns with this episode number 506, Second Mix J Append, Part B, right after this.
Hola. This is your friendly neighborhood Mexican Acta, and you're participating with Orange Lounge Radio, the show where every gamer has a voice. And I want to use my voice to tell you that Kirby does not suck. Well, literally he does suck, but not figuratively. Anyways, play more Kirby.
That's right, play more Kirby. They have that whole Wii U virtual console thing going on right now. I was tempted to get the Kirby golf game. Was it Kirby's Dream Course that they had on Super Nintendo? It was like the miniature golf game. That game was awesome. Good times. There you go. You too can leave a bumper. Go to vognetwork.com and check out the forums for Orange Lounge Radio and more information on there. If you want to use your voice to tell the gaming world something, maybe you want them to play less Kirby, you could tell us that in a future bumper. That was the last one that I had in the queue, by the way. So you're going to start hearing repeats if I don't get any new ones for the next show. Just saying. That's my little threat. Just saying. All right. During the break tonight, before we get into rapid fire news, I noticed some of the chatters were talking about Civ 5, and I don't know how this got brought up, but apparently the Mass Effect mods for Civ 5, I thought I mentioned this on the show before. Yes, they exist, and they're awesome.
Yeah, but it's still not enough to make me play Civ.
Yes. Fun fact, you once said that about Mass Effect.
Okay, yeah. All right, here's something. I have never liked that type of game. I admit that, shit, what game is it I'm thinking of now? Not Populous. Well, I didn't like Populous either, but.
SimCity? Are we? Uh-oh. Oh, I thought I hit all the buttons.
You know what? I just happened to look over and saw that we were muted, so all of this
Thank
conversation that's happening.
Professional radio, folks.
You know what? Rob was giving me crap for not wanting to play Civ, even though there's a Mass Effect mod. And I was telling him how I did not like Civ. I don't like Sim City. I do not like Sim Coaster. Although I do like watching the coasters that people have made on Sim Coaster. Mm-hmm. I don't like Sim Park. I like The Sims, but really I like building houses and dressing them up and murdering them.
What about Sim Ant?
I don't like Sim Ant either.
I loved Sim Ant. That game was amazing.
I do like semantics. But what's the game I'm thinking of? It's not Populous. It's where you're the avatar of the god and you go and you fight demons and you build the town and make them worship you and shit.
ActRaiser.
Thank you, ActRaiser. I don't even really care for ActRaiser that much.
Get out.
Let me finish. I like watching other people play ActRaiser. I get pissed off. So I don't have the patience for ActRaiser.
Two things about ActRaiser. A, the soundtrack.
Is great.
B, when that angel flies around, you can see his butt. It was butt.
And this is how Rob first learned.
No, it was butt on the Super Nintendo. So it made you giggle a little bit.
You know what?
It was butt.
You know what?
Butt. That's what.
No, from now on, instead of chicken butt, it's angel butt. Guess what? Angel butt.
All right. Let's go around and talk about rapidly what's happening in the world of gaming. Some quick stories. Rapid fire news.
So, this may be a bit of a spoiler, but we think maybe Mirror's Edge 2 might be coming to the Xbox One. Apparently, there was, first off, a listing on an Italian, the German and Italian storefronts for Amazon, and those are removed. Listing it was for the Xbox One. And then on EA's own website, in the help section, their help center, had a page for Mirror's Edge 2, and now it's gone. So makes me think that maybe that's going to be one of the announcements, perhaps. I guess we'll find
out.
Yes,
please.
And then, of course, you know, Prey 2, it's been in development forever. And now, apparently, it's going to be under development by Arkane Austin, which was the studio behind Dishonored. So that sounds good, because Dishonored wasn't that bad. And, they don't have any... They have no information to share, but that's the rumor, at least. That hasn't been canceled. And last but not least, El Shaddai, I don't know if you guys remember that game. It's kind of an artsy action game from Ignition. Well, now the rights have been transferred to the creator. So now there's going to be, El Shaddai is now back in the creator's, I guess, portfolio as far as the rights go. And maybe that means it's going to open up an opportunity for more games.
You know what's making me cry right now? That every time anyone talks about that game, I hear Amy Grant.
Baby, baby.
No. Because when she was like heavy into her Christian singing mode, she did a song called El Shaddai.
Well, the
keep in mind, I was raised Baptist.
Okay, here's the thing. The references on this show are getting more and more obscure.
Okay, well, the full title was El Shaddai, The Ascension of the Metatron, so it's...
Did she do a song called Metatron?
No, but I just finished watching the season of Supernatural, and there was Metatron in it.
Oh, lordy.
So, let's see. Metatron. Yeah, that's it.
And, sorry, Brad... I adore you to death. It was a decent song, but her Hebrew was awful.
All right, moving on. I'm shocked that so many people know that Amy Grant song. I only remember Baby, Baby, lyrics.
She did, okay, there's one song that she did that I really like, and that was the duet she did with Vince Gill, who she married. Just saying.
Whatever happened to her?
She's still recording and still married to Vince Gill.
She's still recording?
Yeah, I actually, believe it or not, the only site I could get working was Wikipedia. And I was reading up about, actually, Vince Gill, but it linked to Amy Grant. So I was like...
Isn't that amazing how on Wikipedia you could just...
She married him. She's married to Vince Gill.
I believe you.
Mom was watching that Oklahoma Relief thing and Vince Gill was on it. So we looked up Vince Gill and it led to Amy Grant. She's back to doing super Christian stuff and singing with Vince.
Jamie, Jamie.
No. No.
For the record, she does have
Jamie, Jamie,
a gorgeous
she's
voice.
She's hating on the Xbox. She doesn't want to be watched playing Mass Effect. Stop for a minute. Jamie's addicted to aliens.
I remember I got dragged to this to an Amy Grant concert at the state fair. I got dragged to one of those and it was just not fun.
Did you sing along?
No, I didn't. I'm not a fan of Amy Grant. I recognize that song, but I don't know any of her other songs.
Hey, you know what? You know the only show that I had, the only concert I've been taken to at a fair against my will was Michael Damian.
I think literally that is the only concert I have seen at the state fair is the Amy Grant one. And I don't remember who opened it. It was another Christian artist.
You haven't been to see Weird Al?
No, I sadly
haven't. You haven't been to see Weird Al?
He's coming this year.
See Weird Al.
It's 100 and some degrees outside. I don't go outside for anybody. He can come to my house.
Jamie.
I went to Fresno to see Weird Al, so...
All right, moving on back. Oh, we were a video game show? I didn't realize. One thing you could pick up and you could sing Baby Baby while you're downloading it in the queue is the Humble Indie Bundle 8. That's right. The Humble Indie Bundle 8 is here, and it has games such as Thomas Was Alone, Awesome Knots, Little Inferno, Dear Esther, and Capsized. And if you pay more than the average purchase price, I don't know what it is right at this moment. It's probably like $6 or $7. You will also get Hotline Miami and Proteus. Now, I'm just going to guess.
Did you say Proteus?
No, Proteus.
Damn! Oh, like I don't already have 5 copies of Proteus.
Now, here's the thing. If this goes anything like the former bundles did, somewhere in the last week, they're going to say, by the way, we're throwing in these Humble Bundle 7 games as well. So,
you
look
know
out
what?
For it.
But I'm actually going to pay for this for one game.
What game?
Hotline Miami.
Yeah, I hear it's really fun
because it's blood everywhere and you can shoot like Dobermans in the face.
I'm gonna get this just because I like indie games and I've pretty much gotten every other indie bundle. It's
I already got it
deal. Did you have you checked out any of the games yet?
No.
They'll just sit there in my Steam library.
I have now in my Steam library 126 games. And that's not all of them because I haven't bothered to put all of the Sonic the Hedgehog games in. I only because I bought the Sonic collection with every single Sonic the Hedgehog game that's on PC. And I only put in Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing and Sonic Generations. I didn't bother to put the rest of the
okay.
ones.
Okay, Sonic Generations is a damn good game.
They also have, well, you saw, I don't know if you saw, they have a mod that actually, it's Sonic, it converts it to the other Sonic 3D game that they had. I don't remember.
I see Tiger Claw in the chat room saying Hotline Miami has a good soundtrack. And the good news is you will also be able to get the soundtracks with these games. DRM-free downloads, Steam keys, Windows, Mac, and Linux versions.
For the record, whatever games that I don't keep out of this, I'm more than happy to share with some of our listeners.
And I should mention that they also have a Humble weekly bundle that's going on right now that's all the Telltale series.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, too.
Which I also bought.
Those are some great deals
Walking
right now.
Walking Dead, Sam and Max.
Walking Dead alone is worth it if you don't already have
it.
Yeah,
if you pay more than the average, it's Walking Dead. You get Sam and Max.
Also great.
You know, Back to the Future.
Great.
Puzzle Agent, which I've never played.
Those are good,
Waltz
too.
And Gromit.
Yeah.
Poker Night, The Inventory. And
wow. That's a lot.
The Badge. I can't remember.
Jurassic
the other
Park?
One. No Jurassic Park.
Hmm. Probably because of licensing.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow. Apparently earlier this week, EVE Online and Dust 514, which is the game that ties into it, they were taken down. CCP actually took them down due to a significant and sustained DDoS attack. That's a distributed denial of service attack. That was according to EVE Online's Facebook. Don't know who tried to do it or why, but yeah, the whole game went down. So look at stupid kids ruining everybody's fun. Stop DDoSing MMOs and kicking everybody off that's just trying to have a good time. By the way, speaking of DDoS attacks, Bobby asked me to relay the following along. Should we lose the stream at some point during the show tonight, don't hit F5 to refresh the entire page, because when y'all do it at once, it's like a little mini DDoS attack, because we're not on the servers as big as EVE Online or Dust 514. We're running off a tin can that has some computer chips in it, because that's what we paid for, you know, because we don't have a lot of money at VOG. So when you all refresh it at once, it's like a little DDoS attack. It could cause everything to break further. So please, all you have to do, it's right by the little player. You just hit pause, unpause. There you go. And that will not do a DDoS attack on our little website. If you are a Vita owner, you'll be excited to know that Flower is coming to the Vita. This is awesome. I love Flower. I played it on the PlayStation 3, but I would say it's the best racing game I've played in a long time, even though it's you would not think of Flower as a racing game. It's really great. Flower is going to be on the Vita. It will be one of the Indiecade games coming to E3. It was one of the few games that used that tilt control inside the DualShock controller. Mm-hmm. It will obviously use that on the Vita because it has, you know, touchscreen and all that fun stuff. So cool. Check that out on the Vita. Next up, Dark Sakura.
Hold on, I'm saying that I only care about R-Type.
What, in the chat room?
Talking about Irem games.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Because R-Type is freaking great. Okay, tell me that R-Type does not have the best first stage music of almost any game ever. If you said it doesn't, then you're lying. So, you don't know Jack is going to be on Ouya on June 11th, and the Jackpad app will make your phone a controller. So, folks who have Ouyas and a Android phone or an iOS will get to have a controller out of their phone. Yay. Aren't you special? Square Enix registered Final Fantasy Agito, which is something that we heard like at E3, what, 5 years ago? 6 years ago? Eventually? Because they were supposed to do Final Fantasy Agito 13. So now they've got Final Fantasy Agito. Hooray.
There you go. Perfect question for Bobby Blackwolf. So where's Versus 13?
Oh, a question for the Squeeners? Well, here's the thing, is that either that's going to be answered once E3 starts. I kind of think it's a game that has to show up in one way or another, whether it's true that they moved it to 15 or what. Kind of think you'll have something on that well before the show starts. But let's say they do announce Final Fantasy Versus 13 and you want to know, is Lightning in it? You know, or something that they don't say. I don't know. You could go ask that question.
Well, remember, the Agito 13 turned into the 0-1. So
I do. I'm happy it's hopefully...
Which I wish we would have gotten a release over here, because everyone tells me it's sick as
well,
anything.
Well, maybe this is a sign.
I hope. And then, and last but never least, for fans of the game Toki Tori 2, which is on Wii U, it's getting a Steam release date. It's going to be out today already. July 2nd, as announced by developer Two Tribes. And in the PC version is a Steam Workshop integration and achievements. So there's also a level editor that was promised for Wii U, and, well, they don't have that yet. Gee! Nintendo and online?
It's coming soon, trademark patent pending.
You know what else is coming soon?
Hey, you know what, though? At this point, if the Xbox One Kinect is going to watch me poop... Then, like, give me the Wii U and its outdated technology, all right?
You know what? I'm just going to go home and hook up the Turbo Duo and play me some freaking Dracula X and not worry about my Amen. System watching me in my pajamas. The end.
Instead, a ceiling cat is watching you masturbate. It'll be Xbox One. Bill Gates is watching you masturbate. All right, let's go to the Fugle question of the week, which, thank heavens, tonight is not about masturbation. Where's my theme music? Everything is broken tonight.
I ate it.
Who ate my theme music?
The Kinect did while it was watching you poop.
No, seriously, guys. I don't have my theme music. Help me fill time.
Do, 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 do.
No, not by singing.
You don't want to hear me sing anyway. I want that game, Ikuma. Tell, go to Square Enix and tell them to give it to me. Tell them to give me the 0. I wants it.
Can't you just import it?
So what exactly is the downside for...
I don't think I can read it.
...not voting on Steam Greenlight titles? I never understood that. Like,
you don't get your little mini achievement?
Well, it's like, if you don't vote for them, then, you know, so what? So you thumbs up them, and then you don't buy it. They're not holding you to the fire to, like, oh, well, you said you'd purchase this game. Why aren't you purchasing this game?
And... I actually want to wonder if the chat room actually missed what I said, that Agito 13 was 0. Because that's what I said, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Making sure people are paying attention.
All right. Anyhow, I would love to answer Loki's question, but I found music. Take Facebook and Google and smash them together, you get Fugle. And our way to interact with our fan communities every week with the Fugle question of the week. Now, we didn't talk about this story earlier in the show, so I'll mention it now. A little-known side quest in Final Fantasy IX came to light via an uploaded YouTube. Apparently, some guide in Japan that had been out for years but was always untranslated, somebody found it and found that there was this extra quest in the game. Well, anyhow, although I'm not going to get into all the details on Final Fantasy IX because it sounds complicated, this had us thinking about rediscovering things in classic games. Have you ever revisited an old game years after its release to find something new? Go back and complete it at 100%? What classic game did you revisit after many years, not necessarily to play it for the first time, but to try and discover new things inside it? So let's check out what some of our folks on Facebook thought. We'll start with Jeremy J., who answered, I discovered a trick in Super Metroid 5 or 6 years after playing it for the first time. You can call the Dragon boss with your grappling beam. Pretty neat stuff. I guess it's common knowledge to many, but I had no idea. And he linked us a little YouTube. You know, there's a lot of ways you can kind of trick that game. You can do, like, wall jumps and get past places you're not supposed to. There's lots of little ways you can kind of, like, trick it and beat the system. So that's one of the really cool... That's part of what makes Super Metroid the best ever.
No, that's period. Where you could get to the top of the castle by doing the double jump and get your final star in Super Mario 64, just saying.
All right. Anyway, Tiara responds and says, I've actually been replaying Final Fantasy IX for the past several weeks, and I never knew about this side quest until I stumbled upon the info while looking for Chocobo hot and cold treasure locations. So you're going to be one of the first to see it. Dark Tetsuya says, up until a couple... Sorry for the Facebook noise, but I'm actually on Facebook trying to read these answers. Dark Tetsuya says, up until a couple years ago, I'd never beaten the fabled second quest in The Legend of Zelda on NES. Trust me when I say it is harder than the first quest.
Really?
That is true. Well... A lot of people go back and beat retro games.
Well,
it is harder than the first
quest. And for the record, for anyone who wants to do it without beating the game first, just type in Zelda for your name.
That is true. Also, Zelda's another one of those games where you don't have to have every item. You can get around some of this stuff. Like, you could get through the whole game with a wooden sword, I think.
Don't forget to walk headfirst into walls, because you never know which one's invisible.
You never know. All right. Let's see. Andy R. replied and said, I replayed Okami earlier this year thanks to the HDification version, and I found a lot of things I didn't find the first time, things such as the hidden spider bosses or some of the advanced forms of the brush techniques. Also, knowing what happens in the story before I started made me more cognizant of the foreshadowing I missed the first time I played the game, which was kind of cool. Mary B. replied with another Final Fantasy answer. Final Fantasy VIII. Learned how to crazy attack with Squall's 2-hour, whatever it was, and that it was stronger than his summon. Did they have 2-hour abilities in Final Fantasy VIII, or was that your Final Fantasy XI addiction talking? After getting stuck on Bahamut. I had to come back to a save down to Bahamut after not playing for months. Final Fantasy X and X-2, just for fun because I like them so much. Use strategy guide to get 100%, though. Raginator said, well, at least prior to my PS3 being stolen, I regularly went back and played older classics. The closest thing to discovering something new was in terms of tactics for situations where I got stuck in the past. And Degenerate Johnny says, a couple years ago, I decided to hook up my Genesis to test and see if it still worked after all this time. It did, surprisingly. I decided to fulfill my nostalgic urge to play the original Mortal Kombat. Unfortunately, I forgot the blood code. There are some things you just forget as a gamer. I couldn't tell you that I could remember it.
Game facts.
I knew fatalities, not sure all, were possible without the blood code, so I tried it out with Kano. To my surprise, Kano managed to do his finishing move. However, instead of a heart, he pulled out an organ that was dark-colored. I can only assume that he pulled out his opponent's liver. It's an evil thing and must be destroyed. Even with no blood code, Mortal Kombat surprised me with the amount of gore it was still able to show on the consoles. All right, going over to Google Plus and some of the answers there. Were there no answers on Google Plus? Oh, no, there's two. Sorry. Google Plus changed. Now I can't find things. All right. Redertainment says, I remember me and my best friend as a kid trying and failing to beat Mega Man 2 on the NES. No matter how many different times or many different ways we tried to beat the game, we could never get past one particular part in Dr. Wily's fortress at the end. It wasn't until I was older, bought the Mega Man collection on PS2, and had access to online walkthroughs that I finally got the item you needed in order to proceed past that one particular part. When I finally beat that game, it felt like I was giving my 8-year-old self a figurative high five. Not a literal high five, because that would break the space-time continuum. And lastly, Travis H. on Google Plus says, I have found myself overjoyed with the amount of PS1 and PSP games I can replay on my Vita. I'm right now in the middle of playing Wild Arms, trying to complete it to its fullest, and find things that I missed the first time around. It is very refreshing to go back in an older age and enjoy the simple things, as the dialogue and some humor you may not have got when you were younger.
Talk about a good soundtrack, by the way.
Will anything work during tonight's show? Now Alan is breaking things in the kitchen.
I thought it was because I mentioned Wild Arms, because that game is hot.
Oh, my gosh. All right. There you go. Thank you to the folks that answer the Facebook question of the week and the Google Plus question of the week. Answer in a future week. I want to say quickly, though, about that last answer was very similar to one of the Facebook answers. And a couple things we were hearing is that these HD remakes really seem to get people to go back and play them again. And I kind of find that to be true, too, is that when the things get re-released, it's like a reason for me to go back. Like, it's why I had never tried to beat Mario 2 with just one character before. So that was something I kind of did that was new this week. You know,
try doing it with Toad.
The desert levels would be manageable.
I only used Toad in the desert levels for the most part, but I did. Now, this was, keep in mind, when I was a kid, I did a full playthrough with Toad.
Mm.
And you would be surprised at the number of coins you get. I was playing the stupid bonus game for ages. Because he had the faster dig.
SSGO100, Matt to the rescue in the chat room. ABACABB. That was the blood code. There you go, Degenerate Johnny. ABACABB. Abacab. All right. That does it. Let's go into some more news. And then, of course, the mailbag and the FUs of the week. Loki.
All right. So, hey, guess what? Even though they haven't released their first game yet, the next Kickstarter for Double Fine has been launched. Their brand new game called Massive Chalice. And it's a kind of a cross between like a feudal fantasy tactical strategy game with like this weird, I guess they're saying there's like permanent death in the game, so you have to create new characters by breeding them, I guess. So, yeah, that's going to be coming, I guess. And it looks interesting. They're most likely going to hit their goal since they're at 677,500 right now. And their goal is 725,000. And they've got 24 days to go. So most likely they are going to make it. So, yeah. I don't know. Looks interesting. It's being headed up, I guess, by the guy that did Iron Brigade. Brad Muir.
Speaking of Kickstarter stuff, by the way, the Zelda Kickstarter we had, that guy on the show a couple weeks ago, didn't make it. Didn't make it. Bummer. He says he has some other plans, though, and good luck to him with Plan B. I think you got to have a Plan B when you go into this Kickstarter thing, because I think it's like going viral. You know, you in like, you know, these ad agencies will hire people saying, we need you to make a viral ad. But sometimes it just either it's going to catch or it's not. And it's not that it's necessarily bad. It just sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. Now, when you're Double Fine and you have that name recognition, well, this, you know, the money's going to come to him pretty easy. But, you know, unfortunately for the Zelda movie and all that, it just didn't catch on for whatever reason. And that's going to happen sometimes. So. Good luck to him with whatever he decides to do with his Plan B. Hopefully the movie will happen.
That makes me quite sad.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Very unfortunate. I had put in some money, but I got it back. Or I should say they never charged it, because that's what happens. They don't charge it until it goes through. So, all right. Going to some news for the 3DS. The 3D Sonic that I remember we talked about was rumored a couple weeks ago. Apparently, it is something that's happening because the Australian Classification Board issued ratings. You gotta love when the ratings board spoils games. Well, not only did they roll out a 3D Sonic the Hedgehog rating, but they also rolled out a 3D Altered Beast rating. Apparently, 3D Space Harrier, 3D Super Hang-On.
Space Harrier.
These are all out in Japan already. But the fact that they're rated in Australia means they're probably coming around to the rest of the world, too.
Which, by the way, if I am right and they're the same as the Sega Ages, what was it? I imported like three of them. I had the Phantasy Star, the Phantasy Zone, and Space Harrier. They're really good.
Yeah.
If it's in the same line.
Well, these will be 3D. Here's
the
thing.
So are those.
I'm all about Space Harrier, Super Hang-On, yeah, Sonic, yeah. Altered Beast, look, Altered Beast is one of those games that is... Like, everybody remembers that, and, like, in people's memories, it's awesome, but, like, I played through the game not that long ago. It sucks. Like, Altered Beast sucks. I'm sorry to say it. It is not aged well whatsoever. When I was 12, that game was the shit. When I'm 34, not so much.
We needed a Marvel Madness.
We do need a Marvel Madness. But that wasn't Sega.
I don't care, though. It would be awesome.
Wasn't it Williams or Midway?
It was Atari.
Yeah, Atari.
Which their arcade division got snapped up by Midway, I believe.
I think that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. But yeah.
Which in turn then got snapped up by Warner.
Yeah.
The game's great if you've got a trackball to play it with.
Mm-hmm. Well, he could do something with the touchpad. Who knows? All right. Darksoccer, what do you have for us?
Well, as soon as I can get it up. There we go. Gianna Sisters Twisted Dreams developer. We like them, don't we? Because they gave us that wonderful series back, didn't they? It's Black Forest Games. They've announced another game called Ravensdale. That's a four-player co-op side-scrolling platform shooter set in a medieval oil rig city. Looking at the screen capture here, it's pretty grimy, very oily looking. They wanted it to be an action RPG, but publishers were saying that steampunk doesn't sell. So that's why they are... looks like they've changed the method of this. I don't know. Has anyone else heard anything about this?
No, not this particular game. No, it was...
Well, their likelihood saying that we're going to see a Kickstarter in about a month or two. Since they're not finding a publisher, they're going to go the Gianna Sisters route. But, I mean, if judging by Gianna Sisters, it's probably going to be good. So, they got a good track record.
Yes, yes. I still need to play that Twisted Dreams. It's one of those games that's like in my queue waiting to play. But I loved the Commodore 64 one, even though, yes, it was kind of the Mario Brothers ripoff. But soundtrack is part of what I remember most fondly. But
it's pretty good. I have it downloaded, but I played it like once.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to Saints Row the Third.
So. I did not like Saints Row the Third.
What's wrong with you?
I just didn't like how the game started off.
Funny. Oh my, I laughed and laughed. Did you get to the part where they're skydiving out of the plane? You got to at least get that far because I died. It was so funny. All right.
I just found I didn't like the control. That's all.
All right. I didn't like Mass Effect the first time I played it. Just saying. All right. Loki, what do you have for us?
So there's some more announcements coming from Japan for the Wii U. First off, the Wii U is now going to be available in white for the 32-gigabyte premium set. That's starting July 13th. And I guess it'll be available in black and white, since, you know, they already have the black to begin with. And then, of course, they're going to be, doing some sort of, and I'm surprised it's taken so goddamn long for this, but they're doing, they have a larger capacity battery for the Wii U gamepad. So it's going to be 2,500 mAh instead of 1,500 mAh, which will, I guess, equal to 5 to 8 hours of gameplay as opposed to 3 to 5. And then on top of that, they're having official Wii Remote charge battery packs for it. Like, whoa. How many years after the Wii and they finally got around to putting out battery packs for it? Because... hey, those Wii remotes eat batteries like, you know.
I thought this was nothing. Wii U battery pack.
No, they have a Wii U battery pack, mm-hmm. And they also have battery packs for the Wii.
I didn't realize that was a separate thing. That's crazy.
They're doing that, and they even have like a little charger that goes along with it. Now, it's a little late to the game considering that Nyko and, you know, I think Dream Gear have had battery packs for the longest time for it. But it's interesting to see something official from them. And, so those will be coming soon, because they're only in Japan right now.
Until they announce something at E3 this week, where these are coming with a price drop. Maybe I don't know. Might be thinking too positively. We'll see. This game looks very cool. It's I'm going to play some of the YouTube here in the background, so you can hear some of the music. But it's a game called Crypt of the Necro Dancer. It is a rogue-like game, which is, you know, like a dungeon crawler, like if you think way, way, way back to the old terminal game Rogue. But it's mixed with a music game. It's a hardcore, rhythm-based rogue-like. Notable game composers Danny B. and Alec Hawaka are working with Crypt of the Necro Dancer, which I think is awesome. And you can also load your own MP3s into the game if you want, although I don't know how well that will work, but there you go. That looks awesome. And you can check that out at necrodancer.com. Very cool.
That's pretty cool.
I like both those types of games. That's like a game made for Rob. Dungeon Crawler meets DDR. Love it. I just need my dance pad. All right, let's get to our mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails, and Dark Soccer reads some of her favorites here on the show. In fact, she's got a couple weeks to catch up on with no official show last week and so forth. So, unfortunately, she was trying to sew.
One of my stitches came out. It actually broke when I flipped the foot inside out. So I was trying to fix it real quick. I thought I had time before mailbag. Oh well. So, a freaking ton of mail. And a lot of it's in Mandarin Chinese. So let's skip all those.
That was the spam.
That was the spam. Except for the stuff in French, which I could actually read, but I don't really care about boobs that much.
Spamdarin.
Womp womp. So this comes from Rabababa. I noticed the Curiosity game from 22 Cans is approaching the center. Well, there's a countdown on each cube, and I believe it was at 13 when I wrote this on Monday. I've made my final cynical conclusions about it. Of course, we've already done the big reveal. But I like reading this stuff. It appears the cubes do not get smaller as you get closer to the center. It isn't fun, not even as bubble wrap. It gets boring easily, and after I toyed with it once or twice, I'm content to just see it end. The payoff at the end will be disappointing. The life-changing promise is way too large and nebulous. I love the word nebulous, by the way. I hope the center is remember to drink your Ovaltine. Stay pound 000000. Rababa. Of course, you know what that is.
Stay black.
Stay black.
You've been listening to...
Okay.
No, you haven't.
We have another one from Rababa. You guys asked for our reaction to the Xbox One, so here's mine. First, when listening to the May 19th episode, I read up on the Xbox One, so the podcast was full of unintentional dramatic irony. It was fun to hear after the reveal. That said, my original reaction on the name is that it was literally the last name I'd consider for the new Xbox. Then I realized simply Xbox was literally the last name I expected, so they chose the penultimate name of all I could come up with. Overall, the name is pretty good, as it conveys multiple meanings, is easy to remember and understandable, unlike Wii and Wii U, which sound dumb, even repulsive, that conveyed no obvious meaning. I don't expect a lot of debate over what a terrible name One is. Does it have good games? At this point, I don't really care. All I know is that there aren't many good games coming out for any system at the moment. They'll stop making games for PS4 and PS3 and Xbox 360 very soon. The new consoles will be my only choice for new games on console. Used games, if I can't trade or give used games away, I will probably not buy discs at all. I also believe this is how EA will implement Game Pass. The game DVR is interesting. It requires online to share, so I suspect this will be an exclusive gold feature. I also expect that certain games will not be allowed on this feature, even Gasp not allow certain parts to be recorded. That's all I'll bug you with today, Rabababa. And this comes from Elliot B. It's the Oculus Rift report. Dear OLR, this week I was lucky enough to get some hands-on time with the most exciting hardware release of the year. No, not the PS4 or Xbox One. I'm, of course, talking about the Oculus Rift. For those who don't know, the Rift is a VR headset with a low-latency head tracking, providing an immersive 3D experience, in theory at least. While the reality doesn't quite yet live up to the hype, it's still an impressive device, even for a prototype. Oculus have got the basics down pat. The headset is easy to set up, weighs nothing, and lag is unnoticeable. Unfortunately, there is still a pretty major issue standing between the Rift and the mainstream success. Movement with standard FPS controls produce instant motion sickness. Even the peaceful Italian villa demo is nauseating, let alone a fast-paced shooter. Darkstalker, you have been warned. Thank you. My thinking is that rather than adapting existing games for the Rift, devs will need to keep in mind its weaknesses as well as its strengths. Still, experiencing the Rift for the first time is a breathtaking experience, even despite its teething problems. To be any more than a novelty, it now needs some equally breathtaking custom-built games. Yours virtually, Elliot B. Thank you, Elliot. Good Lord, everybody, why are you writing me novels? Okay. Dear OLR, I would like to take this moment to thank Microsoft from the bottom of my heart for the Xbox One announcement. The amount of money I'll be saving by skipping their draconian, unattractive Kinect mandatory disaster is enormous. You know, it's funny, I was worried about skipping this generation because I was afraid the PS4 was going to blow major chunks. Hell, I even bought a Wii U out of that fear. Instead, it seems Microsoft is going into the junior year slump that seems to happen with any successful console manufacturer. Seriously, first it was Nintendo with the N64, then Sony with the PS3, now Microsoft with the Xbox One. By the way, lamest name ever. We're getting mixed.
The PS3, though, it started off like a great comedy of errors, but after a couple of years, it got, you know,
it
better.
It grew
and better.
Into itself.
It did.
And it Nintendo, fits its big boy pants.
Nintendo 64 had its moments, you know. I wouldn't call Nintendo 64 a flop.
Pokemon Snap.
among other, well, Mario 64, some in Ocarina of Time, some considered to be the greatest games ever made. So it had that too.
Well, and even Treasure did a couple of games for it, and we know what we think of Treasure. Okay. This isn't to say I'll be completely sitting out on gaming hardware this generation. Obviously, I have my Wii U, and actually already have a bunch of games for it, and I'll be picking up the Retron 5 and Ouya when they're commercially available. Also, since Sony doesn't appear to be restricting used games or mandating internet connections, the PS4 seems to be a viable option, unless something disastrous turns up at E3. Honestly, if Sony isn't looking at the Xbox One and saying, this is what we don't do, I'll be surprised. However, I can say with absolute certainty that I've got more than enough game. You know, that was the first typo I found. He said then instead of than. I was just thinking I was impressed. So good on you. More than enough gaming ready to go for the next 5 or so years. And that doesn't include GOG or Humble Bundles. However, almost as troubling as the DRM encumbrance on the Xbox One is Microsoft's continued commitment of trying to pimp the Xbox to people who don't give a crap about video games. Does Microsoft not understand that there are cheaper alternatives for those who want set-top boxes? Seriously, media centers like Boxy and Apple TV are $80 to $100, and modern Blu-ray players are having more and more of those features put into them for about the same price or less. That's ignoring the obvious plug a cheap PC into your television through HDMI option. I shit you guys not, I can do the whole Netflix, YouTube, multimedia thing on my Blu-ray player, my PS3, my Nexus 7 tablet, and my PC, and most of those options are also on my Wii U. Microsoft goes full bore with the living room takeover thing at their own peril. While I hesitate to wish them ill, I do hope they're awakened soon. Failing that, however, I'm good to go. Emulators on Ouya, retro goodness on the Retron 5, and modern gaming on the Wii U, and potentially a future on the PS4. And Japanese developers will likely be able to go right back to ignoring Microsoft, and all's right with the world. Anyway, there's my thoughts on the Xbox One. Have I mentioned it's a stupid name? I have. Don't care. It's a stupid name. Seriously, it's worse than Wii. Regards, Rolsteel UT. Thank you for the best written email I have ever read in my entire life, except for your one typo. It's T-H-A-N, not T-H-E-N. And also...
That is totally a lie.
Well written. Shut up, Rob.
No offense.
Mr. Kickstartered.
No offense to the emailer.
No. Well, you know it's my job to completely fuck up everyone's grammar.
I think maybe it's a little bit overly cynical, but I will give until E3. Let's see what happens. So, you know, and just like Bobby said in the chat room at live.vognetwork.com, Sony never said they weren't doing any of that. They just never answered the question.
True dat.
So, we'll see. They're not going to be able to dodge it much longer.
1 foot. I have one scale mate foot.
In your behind. Kick.
In your angel butt. Okay, this comes from Jay, who I was hanging out with. And just let me hop back into the chat long enough to keep from getting logged out.
Sure.
Okay. This email comes from Jay, Jammer Jay, who I was hanging out with on last Monday.
Oh, is it gossip all about your experiences?
No, it's not. It's pictures of me being sunburned. It says, the highlight of my gaming week was playing DDR with the legendary Dark Sakura. Yes, I know. Anyway, she did a fine job for getting back into DDR. I think it's time for Sky and Loki to brush off the rust and join her back into DDR.
Played at Roseville Golfland a couple months ago. I think when Spike and Tim, that show that Spike and Tim were here, yeah. We've gone to Golfland earlier in the week.
I have a pile of tokens, which they don't.
Which they don't even use anymore. It's all like a card. Maybe you could trade them in. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think they'll do that.
Well, they had to for a certain time.
Okay. My summer advice for gamers, be sure to have light sunscreen if planning to be out in the sun a bit. Oh, why? Yeah, because the thing is, I'm not supposed to wear sunblock at all. Because I don't make enough vitamin D normally, so I didn't wear any. And then I forgot what humidity and sunlight really does, and I'm still peeling. Anyways, it was nice seeing you again, Dark Sakura. Thank you. It was good to see you, too. And I look forward to meeting up with Sky and Loki for California DDR one day. Well, we would love to have you out here, and you are more than welcome to crash at my place. And last email. Hello, all. Just thought I would drop a line to say hello to the gang. I am in the middle of reading an amazing book called Ready Player One, which we've discussed on the show, by Ernest Klein. I know I'm a little late to the party since the book has been out about 2 years now, but it's so good. so much gaming culture and influence, as well as a lot of great pop culture references from the 80s and 90s. I have two questions. To anyone who has read it, what did you think? No spoilers. Which I think we've discussed in depth.
I haven't read it yet.
I'm
going to
be borrowing it from Becky, I think.
Okay, good. I still haven't read it.
But you read
I still need
games.
To read Catching Fire, y'all, before the movie's out. So I got a long book queue.
You don't need to watch them or watch the book, read the book to watch the movie.
Yeah, but like when I see reading the book makes the movie better, because when I went to see The Hunger Games, like every time they changed something from the book, it was like, and then Alan would know that that was something that changed in the book because he could hear me huffing.
So the fact that you got pissed off that they changed things in the book made it better?
Yes, it made it a more interactive experience. Who won The Hunger Games? I did.
You know what? It's kind of funny doing that with Battle Royale now that I've read the book and seeing how the movie is just complete bloodfest and not really political.
It's very different.
The manga is great, though. So anyway, I'm only halfway through, and my second question is to Loki. When you were doing that challenge a while back, this was the book you were doing it for, wasn't it?
Yes.
Anyone who hasn't read the book, stop what you were doing after the OLR show, of course, and go pick it up on Kindle or your local bookstore. You will not be disappointed. Keep up the great work. You three make my Monday at office a lot less miserable. Your friend, Travis.
Ah, you make our Sunday mailbag a lot less.
It's our Travis H.
You make our Sunday mailbag a lot less miserable.
Thank you, Travis.
Thank you.
And, you know, there's pictures that Jay sent, but I think they're the same ones that he put up on Facebook. And they're not wanting to look. Yeah, my butt playing DDR.
Your butt on a DDR machine. LOL.
See. I'm not showing any of you in the chat room because no.
All right. Well, as long as you have fun. That's what DDR is about.
Because I'm the diva. That's why.
Fun. Speaking of diva moments, it's time to get into that segment we do here every week on the show where we get a little bit angry.
F you to smoking in your house and making all of my clothes smell like smoke. And then on top of that, okay, this is me going into some family shit, okay? My mom smokes in the house. Her husband smokes in the house. Well, my grandmother has vasculitis. And I was reading about just how badly secondhand smoke can aggravate vasculitis.
It can aggravate a lot.
Exactly. And then my mom's like, my mom has asthma, and she's saying that my shampoo is aggravating her asthma. No, it was not. Your smoking is aggravating your damn asthma.
When I smoked, I would always go, which was a long time ago, but I would always go outside. Most smokers I knew would do that. Especially in this state. Like, it's illegal to smoke anywhere that's not outside. And most outdoor places are also banned at this point in time.
They actually banned it in Daphne. I had the most pleasant experience in a Waffle House that I've ever had in my life. Because you couldn't smoke inside. Wow. You could actually smell your food. It was amazing. Also, I love you, Daphne Waffle House. Your peanut butter waffles are so freaking good. And even though you're kind of racist assholes, Bluebell ice cream, I love your ice cream too. Thank you for the banana pudding ice cream. And also, F you to Attention Horse. Right.
3 hour show, Jamie. Three hour show. All right. Loki.
Fuck you the hot.
Right?
Because it's going to get hot.
All right.
It was like 95 today or something, and next week's 105. Fuck that. Nope. I like the winter. The winter, it's cold. You put more layers on. You can only take off so many layers in the summer.
It's going to rain. No, it's going to be hot. All right. That's it?
That's it.
My F of the week just goes to the whole, like, when it rains, it pours syndrome. I have a lot of good things going on right now. I can't really complain. Like, there's nothing I'm doing where I'm like, arg, I'm so angry about this, but it's just like... Did Robbie bite off more than he could chew? I don't know. But it's actually one of those things where I'm like, okay, when I have some days off next week, I have some time to catch up on some things, then I can go have fun in LA, even though I'll have to be driving down there by myself. But one of my friends is going to be meeting me there, and that makes everything a lot better. And then I'm meeting another one of my friends there. It makes it a lot better. So, but just lots of stuff going on right now. So when it rains, it pours. Ah! But it'll be good. It's like one of those things... You're, like, really upset about it, but then, like, when it's actually happening, you're like, I have the best life. Okay, let's get to a couple more news stories for you guys, and then Twitter topics at twitter.com/OLR and the Skype line at 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. Not just yet, though. A couple more stories.
Yes, unfortunately, we got some depressing stories. The first being that, unfortunately, there was a tragic event that happened this week. One of the engineers for the Oculus Rift, Andrew Scott Reese, was killed in a... basically, a hit and run during a police chase. He was crossing the street in a crosswalk and got hit by a car that the police were chasing and killed.
So. That's awful.
That sucks, especially after we had an email.
Yeah, after that email and everything.
It's crazy.
I mean, and what's really horrible about that is just like, you know, dude was crossing the street. And
well, didn't it happen to Gunpei? Fuck, I can't remember his name. That did Metroid.
I think he died in a car accident. But
I thought he was getting out of a car and got hit.
Yeah. That sounds familiar. It's on Wikipedia somewhere. But yeah, it was really sad. And it's just, you know, obviously car accidents happen every day, and we lose great people, and pedestrians get hit every day, unfortunately, and we lose great people. It just really sucks that, A, this was such a great, you know, young mind that was inventing these things that everybody wanted to play, and B, totally preventable. This guy was not at fault. He wasn't crossing the street in a drug-induced stupor or something. You know, he was hit by a guy who was running from the police. Totally preventable. Like, it's awful. It's awful. But what can you do? When it's time to go, you're going to go. You know?
But at the same time, it's important not to, you know.
Well, yeah, you can't live in fear. You can't be like, I can't cross the street.
Okay. No, I'm just saying it's important to remember the basics that you learned in elementary school. You got to look both ways before you cross the street. And because, I'm sorry, but... You know, and not to say that he's at fault, because it's tragic, but if there's a police chase going and there's cars with sirens coming your way, you can hear those sirens, and, you know, you always want to look, especially when I'm driving and stuff, even though there's a green light, I'm always looking, you know, I give it a couple seconds before I go, because there's always someone that's not paying attention that's going to run the light, so you got to be defensive and always kind of keep your eye out, even though it may be green or something. I remember, actually, it was funny, the last time I went to E3, even... a bus ran out of control and smashed into a Walgreens right through the crosswalk because it turned too fast or something like that. And, you know, someone could have gotten hurt. And thankfully, there was someone that was in the way, but they managed to get into the Walgreens before the bus hit. But you just have to be careful.
All right, so here's the deal with Gunpei Yokoi. And if you don't know that name, he's the guy who he worked for Nintendo for a long time. Producer of Kid Icarus and Metroid, which is huge right there. Designed Rob the Robot. Designed the Game Boy. So y'all know that one. Yes, he designed the Virtual Boy 2, for which, you know, there was a lot of shame that came with that, and he left Nintendo. But they say that he had always planned to leave Nintendo at a certain age. Virtual Boy was not the reason for that. Well, unfortunately, in 1997, he was in a fender bender accident where he rear-ended a truck. He got out of the car to inspect the damage because, you know, same thing happens here, right? You take the pictures, send the insurance company, all that stuff, right? And the passing cars hit him.
Just yeah, I remembered it was something like that.
Similar-ish, yeah. It's very tragic.
Yeah, and Yokoi, I knew it was Yop, but I didn't remember.
Yeah. All right. Well, I really, really hope this story doesn't have a sad ending, but, you know, somebody in the gaming community is missing right now, and his name, I'm hoping, if the internet is doing its job correctly, then y'all already know this, and I'm telling you something obvious, but in case you don't know, David Dredger is currently missing, and he goes by Knuckles Dawson online. He went missing over last weekend, so unfortunately it's been about a week now, and he was missing in the Vancouver area. His bike and helmet were found in Stanley Park, but before he left, he closed his Twitter account, his Xbox Live account. Reportedly, he left his wallet, computer, and phone at home, and there's really just not a lot of information, unfortunately. They have been assembling groups in Vancouver to try and find him. Unfortunately, no luck yet. I think they were going to search the Waters area next. I mean, don't know. He could have fled the country.
So he took
somehow.
Himself off the grid.
Yeah, essentially. And who knows where he could have gone. Hopefully, he is safe and sound somewhere. Just, you know, for whatever reason, just got away, but I highly doubt he would be listening to this podcast, but if by some strange string of luck he was, a lot of folks miss you, dude. Please, please call your family. And a lot of people are out looking for this guy, and they really miss him. So if you are in the Vancouver area, please, even I would say, honestly, if you're in the Pacific Northwest at all, honestly, he could be anywhere at this point. It's not that hard to get on a plane and, you know, go somewhere else. So or get in a car and go somewhere. He could be in the U.S. Who knows? Findknuckles.com is the place to go. That's Knuckles, like, you know, Sonic and Knuckles. Findknuckles.com. This guy, by the way, you might have seen his work in the gaming community before. He was pretty well known because he got the one achievement a day on the 360 for, like, he did something like 3 years, something like that. So he's really big in the Xbox achievements community. So, and I know I heard his name before. I think he was working with other indie podcasts. I know he did stuff with Rooster Teeth. So I hope they find him, and I hope all is well. Okay, that was two really horrible stories back to back. I'm sorry we have to end on that note, but you know, we want to do our due diligence and get the word out.
I could find some puppies and kittens.
Could you? We need like a kitten playing video or something to
play the baby monkey riding backwards on a pig song.
Is there a? Okay, hold on.
It literally is called Baby Monkey Riding Backwards on a Pig.
So this will make us feel a little better.
That will make us feel better.
Yes, it will.
This song and sing to Midna. We make up our own lyrics about Midna.
I do feel a little better. 1-877-GAME-OLR. Cheer me up. 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. If you want to give us a call and a comment on anything you've heard about on the show, or maybe you didn't hear about on the show tonight, but you want to. Again, that's 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. Meanwhile, we will get to Twitter topics. I got to pull those up. Loki, do we have any last minute news while I'm working on that?
There's a Kickstarter for some sort of vest haptic device or something that they're trying to get off the ground. It's supposed to be the As Close As It Gets Kickstarter, and it's like this thing that's supposed to tie in with first person shooters and stuff like that to make it more immersive, where you actually feel like the you know, bullets are hitting you and stuff. It's weird though, they had something
that's a little creepy. Just
well
saying.
They had something like that before. It had like a bass speaker almost built into it. I want to say, I forget what they called it, but it was I think it was tied into either your audio or maybe like the rumble on your controller or something like that for like the PlayStation 2 and Xbox. It's probably audio if it's going to be tying in with that stuff, but they had that. Yeah, they're looking to get $900,000 to create that thing.
Oh. All right, let's go to the phones. We're getting some calls, so let's go to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Raginator.
Hey, Raginator, we see you. We're like a connect. We're watching you. Don't do anything dirty.
Oh, no, I'm just showing you my pussy.
Oh, that makes me feel better. It's a kitty. Wait, put it back on the cat. I don't want to see you. I want to see the cat. Thank you. Much better. What's kitty's name?
Anakin Rorschach.
Oh, that's a good name. All right. Hopefully that will be better than the Anakin that was in episodes 1-3. What's on your mind tonight?
Not a whole lot. Just had a kind of a generic question for tonight.
Sure.
Is there any upcoming games that have been announced that you're possibly looking for or forwards to? And not only that, but as a secondary question, if you had like a wish list or something that you would love to see on Steam. Like, if it was, you see on Steam right now, you want to throw down money for that game and said, buy it.
Like, anything? Or are you talking about, like, ports from consoles or something like that?
You know, either or. Whatever direction you would like to take the question.
Well, I would point you to the OLR Dream Games page on the OLR Wiki. Yeah. Because things like whattheyplay.com, Snap, those still have not come to fruition. And I think we'd like to see some of those. But on a serious note, things that are on console that I would like to see on Steam, I think it would be nice if maybe some things that are already out on PC would get integrated into Steam a little more. Like, you know, I loves me some World of Warcraft. Might be kind of fun to integrate that, and I could talk, you know, but Blizzard wants to do their own thing with Battle.net, so I understand why that doesn't happen. But as far as, like, console things, on Steam. I could be a total fanboy and say, like, Mario, which also wouldn't happen, but then again, on the keyboard, it wouldn't be the same experience. So, I don't know. I'd have to think about that one. You guys, anything that jumps to your mind? We'll come back to your other question, though. Anything that jumps to your mind, something that isn't on Steam that ought to be?
Oh, God. There's so many things that I could come up with. There's too many to list, especially in this short of a show.
Well, let me check in with Dark Soccer and Loki.
SNES collections.
SNES collections. Oh, like Genesis collections.
Exactly.
Why not?
No, even better, TurboGrafx.
I want
the revamped Dracula X.
Alien Crush HD.
Oh, my God.
Right?
That would be our devil. No, I want to see the whole Crush series, like up through Jackie Crush.
Okay, all right. Logie?
Minecraft.
You just want Minecraft in Steam. Makes sense.
It'd be cool.
I run my Minecraft through Steam.
Yeah, I guess it can be done.
Yeah, you can do that.
All right, let's get to the meteor question that Raginator asked. What are you personally looking forward to this year, if anything? Let me guess. Loki, Saints Row 4.
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, of course. Yeah, both. Come on, both.
Yes, both.
Is that it?
And Earth Defense Force 2025.
Okay.
And the new Call of Duty.
For me, the Kingdom Hearts 1-5 remix is something I'm definitely looking forward to. Final Fantasy 14 Realm Reborn. So I know I'm sounding like a total Square Enix fanboy, but it is what it is. Disney Infinity, although I'm totally expecting that game to be a flop. That whole collectible figurine thing, I have to admit, if I'm going to get into a Skylanders game, it's going to be this one.
You know
I'm
what?
Curious. I'm cautiously optimistic.
I actually do have to tell you something. Julian does not have any Skylanders games, but he has toys that he plays with.
There are people that collect Disney commemorative plates. They will buy this game. People will buy this game. It's not gonna matter. It's not gonna flop.
I'm still holding hope that Phantasy Star Online 2 will make it out this year at some point, although I'm losing hope. But we'll see. E3 is kind of the make or break for that. I kind of want to see the South Park Stick of Truth game, too. The toilet humor, potty humor guy in me wants to see that. Pokemon X and Y, believe it or not. I'm loving what it looks like the revamped battle system is going to be, or not system, but the graphics and everything and how they're making everything 3D. It looks really cool. I don't usually get into the Pokemon games quite as much as other people I know, like Shane. But if there's going to be one that's going to win me over, it'll probably be X and Y. How about you, Spazinator? What do you want this year? What can't you wait for?
Stuff that would probably run on my KPS computer, probably Magic 2014.
Of course.
Yeah, that's probably one of the few upcoming games that will run on my computer for sure.
Yeah.
Some of the other stuff, like GTA 5, I know for damn sure it won't run on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to go replace my consoles, I may go get that. Mm-hmm. But it's not really within my budget right now. But the short answer is just the next Magic the Gathering. So
fair enough. You know what? There's sometimes those reliable series, and we're always waiting for the next entry in them. Some people only get Madden every single year. And if the DDR game, if we were 10 years ago, I would have said, oh, whatever new DDR game is coming out this year. That's what I'm looking forward to. But, times have changed. All right. Raginator, I'm going to let you go so we can get more calls. But take care, buddy, okay?
Yep, you too. Take care.
Bye. Oh, and bye to Anakin as well, if you hear that. 1-877-GAME-OLR, or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. We didn't get a lot of Twitter topics tonight, but I will read this one from Tiger Claw, because this does look interesting. I didn't know about this. Tiger Claw tweets us, the Tetris creator, Alexei Pajitnov. I totally said that wrong. I haven't heard that guy's name in a long time. But he created Tetris, and he came out with a new mobile phone game. This is where everybody go on iOS. It's an iOS game called Marbly. It's the first title he's ever designed exclusively for a mobile device, and that you play with colored balls, hence the name Marbly. What?
Are they blue? Someone had to go the five-year-old route.
Why are you giggling over there when I mentioned balls? All right.
Balls are funny.
Balls are funny. Let's go to the phones and see who's there. Ooh, another video call. I'm loving this. Hi.
Your shirt and I want it.
Who's on Orange Lounge Radio?
Take it off and send it to me now.
This is Orange. Wait,
chest is impressive.
Keep it on for the rest of this call, please. It's a family show.
You guys are cheating me. I don't see you on video.
I know. You've heard how many times the stream has gone down tonight. We can't afford the upload. Who is this for the listeners?
This is Oscar.
Hi, Oscar. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Like you mentioned earlier about how you were really getting into the Wii U Virtual Console.
Uh-huh.
And earlier this week I took advantage of that deal that, 32 cents Super Metroid?
If you live in a state that taxes those online purchases, yes, 32 cents. But somehow in California, we get away with a measly 30 cents for Super Metroid.
Dang. Holy crap.
I know, but we saved 2 cents.
I also went and I got a Mega Man X because, I don't know, like a lot of people seem to really be into the series. I've never played Mega Man X before, but I've played like
you poor thing. Games.
Now's a great time to catch up.
Yeah, it seems pretty good. Like, I'm pretty bad at Mega Man games in general, too, but, like, has a little fun thing. Like, I like the dashing and stuff like that.
Well, a lot of Mega Man games are really freaking hard, too. So it's, you know, you say, I'm not that good at Mega Man games. Nobody is that good at Mega Man games, but you learn. You learn. You get better at them.
Yeah, I was actually really mad earlier because I was, like, fighting some mini-boss against... I can't remember the robot's name. It's like some electrical guy. And I couldn't even beat the freaking mini boss. Like, I was like getting so angry. And then I fight the actual boss. I'm like, wow, that was the easiest thing in the planet.
What'd you think of Super Metroid?
Well, I actually own it on Super Nintendo. Oh, so okay. I've played it before.
Yeah. There you
but
go.
But you're very well thought out in it being your favorite game ever because it is pretty amazing.
That is the right answer, sir. All right.
I will side with you in your whole Chrono Trigger debate that I think Super Metroid is a far better game than Chrono Trigger.
Oh, it's comparing awesome. Apples and oranges, though.
I don't care how many times you F5 the site tonight. You get a gold star for that comment.
If you're comparing RPGs, Chrono Trigger is up at the top next to Final Fantasy VI. But action games?
Okay, Jamie, in the RPG department, I will say that I like Chrono Cross better than Chrono Trigger.
But if we're sticking to just SNES?
Just SNES?
Yeah.
So Final Fantasy VI versus Chrono Trigger, I think, is the great SNES debate.
Okay. Well, that for me, then that would be Super Mario RPG.
Good answer. Good answer.
Fair answer.
Also, you mentioned the shirt earlier.
Yes.
You can tell because it's like backwards, but it's the Symphony of the Goddesses shirt.
It's
Have
not
you guys
backwards on our end.
Yet?
It's not backwards on our end. So,
I guess
yeah,
the camera flips properly.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, we see it.
That's cool. Yeah, on my end, it is backwards, so I'm like, I don't know, that's weird. But have you guys made it out to see Symphony of the Goddesses yet?
No, but I want to, but you know what I said earlier about a lot of stuff going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, was it Sunshine? I think he mentioned something about it coming back to California soon.
I believe I heard it's going to be in Oakland or somewhere in the East Bay soon. And I honestly think it was like early June. It's probably when I'm in L.A. Just my luck. All right. Well, Oz, for anything you want to share with our listeners tonight? Anything else?
That's about it. All your listeners should go drink coffee. That's what they should do.
All right. But don't drink crappy coffee. You're drinking coffee right now. There we
go. Your mug is like the size of mine, except mine says the queen is not accepting an audience today.
Oh, yeah. This is just like some cheap Walmart mug. I don't know. And it's Starbucks Blonde Roast, so it's pretty good. I like Starbucks.
There you go. All right, Oscar, you take care. Have a good night. Thanks for calling.
All right, you too.
All right, bye. I'm liking this trend of video callers we have going on. 1-877-GAME-OLR or a username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio.
We have some really pretty listeners.
Now Dark Sakura will judge she's playing hot or not tonight on webcam. I'm just kidding.
I do not judge because I am
And
not...
we're not those kind of people. Everybody's
Until we totally are.
Everybody's beautiful in their own unique
everybody's
way.
Everybody's beautiful. Who was that? That was Ray Stevens, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think so.
I don't know.
You know, it's funny. I told when I was on the way back to Gulfport to get on the plane, I texted Dan from Pascagoula. So he asked if there were squirrels going berserk because that was another Ray Stevens song.
You guys are such nerds.
So.
All right. Let's go to another call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
This is Legend of Zaku here.
Three video calls in a row. Look at that. What's up, Zaku?
Nothing much. Just trying to stay dry, high and dry right now with all this thunder outside.
I heard it's raining out there on the East Coast. Because that's probably all the unfortunate tornado weather that was in the Midwest probably making its way over there, right?
Yeah, I've already heard a few rumbles.
Ugh. Which, by the way, I hope everybody's... I know Codeman lives in Oklahoma, so I checked in with him earlier in the week.
Yeah.
I don't know who else of our listenership is in that area affected by the tornadoes, but I hope y'all are okay.
I hope your stuff's hooked up to surge protectors, too.
Well, Codeman was on
the... Oh, my God, he's got a shirt I want. I freaking love Dream Theater. Oh, my God. Dream Theater's freaking awesome.
All right, yep. Zaku. Surely you did not just call in tonight to get complimented by Dark Soccer, although I wouldn't blame you if you did. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I guess, to put it bluntly, I think we're approaching the next video game crash. Now, call me cynical.
Cynical.
But if you look at the rumblings of how Microsoft announced to the world about the Xbox One, how they're basically... You're not getting a straight answer from them regarding used games, since it's contradicting, each answer is contradicting one another, kind of like Heisenberg's rule of uncertainty principle, where if you study something long enough, its properties change dynamically, so it keeps shifting around. So there's no, in other words, you're still left with so many unopened questions, and it's getting to the point where we don't own things anymore. It's kind of like the Steam model being pigeonholed into the console, even though it's not the appropriate medium.
Wait, do you blame Steam for what Xbox... let's say worst case scenario is true with Xbox One. Do you blame Steam for that? Do you think that everybody's looking at Steam going, well, they get away with digital downloads?
Well, I mean, it's expected that a console, which for lack of a better word, it's just like, you know, it's a dumb computer. It only does certain functions.
Yeah, but you know what it does great is connect to online games, right, Loki? That's one thing it does very well.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Well, okay.
It's expected that all the media for a video game console is physical. It's like, it's tangible. Even though they're, you know, they do exist as, you know, as game downloads, and that's already accepted, and, you know, as a standard where you only own the license to that particular digital copy. But if you buy something tangible, wouldn't you expect that the first sale doctrine would apply to it?
Zaku, stop talking. All right, Zaku, I got to ask you this, because I want to play devil's advocate, and this is important because you say that, you know, that we expect something tangible. I'm not going to disagree with you. I like having the tangibleness. I've been very disappointed that manuals are going away, and instead we're getting these
me
inserts.
Me too.
These inserts that say go to our website, like that really ticks me off. But... Well, devil's advocate is that at one point in this industry, it was cartridges, Atari 26 cartridges, NES cartridges, Super NES cartridges, and then all of a sudden, disc. And there were some people that would say, cartridges for life, and Nintendo was one of those people, and they paid for it on the N64.
Yes, that is true. However, even with the disc era, starting with PlayStation and, you know, and anything slightly earlier than that, you were able to lend it out to anybody, to your friends. Now, all of a sudden, Microsoft wants to impose, like, you know, paying for that game all over again. I mean, when you buy something, you're presuming, it's pretty much common presumption that you pretty much own it. You're able to do what you want to lend it out. But in this case, for the Xbox One, it's a much tighter grip.
It's equity. It's equity on what your value, like this huge wall of DVDs I'll never watch. They at least have equity. I could get 50 cents at a Dimple or something for turning, which is a local chain that buys these things. Compared to those discs, it's like a house. You buy a house and then you sell it for hopefully more money later on. It's like a car. You buy it and then you hopefully can sell it later on.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people are saying a video game is different than a car, but until now, our games have had equity. And now
yes.
We're saying we might lose that. And that is not good when you're asking me to pay $60 for a game that will be worth zero when I try to resell it.
More importantly, it's collusion between not only the game developers, the manufacturers. They're colluding with GameStop to, you know, to find a way, like...
Maybe.
It, well, I mean, from what I'm hearing, it's you have
well,
to.
We don't know. It's rumor. It's rumor.
It's an exchange, so to speak. It's almost similar to how the Yankees basically opted out of StubHub to create their own ticket exchange. Because up until last year, me and my girl were able to get, like, you know, home tickets for really good seats at below face value. And I think this is what's happening. Like, they're taking the same approach where they want to cut out any other middleman and basically set their own terms and set their own prices for certain games.
Holy crap. So I just saw lightning in the background. That was crazy. Did you guys see that? Like, totally flashed in his window there. No. Sorry.
Yeah. It's definitely the...
This is why we don't do a video show. I get too distracted. There's something shiny behind you. There's something shiny. Okay, look, Zaku, I gotta wrap this up for time, but I do want to say this about the video game crash. I do feel like sometimes as cynical gamers, we do sit here with every console generation and go, the game crash, the game crash, the game crash. I don't think the video game industry is going to crash necessarily, I feel there is a very real possibility that both the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, and hell, the Wii U as well, there's a very real possibility all three of them fail. And they could call that a video game crash. But you know who the winner is in that situation? The current generation. Because people still have those consoles.
Well, yeah, that too. And then mobile, which never had those, which those issues were never a moot point to begin with. I mean, they were never an issue to begin with. All of digital, everything on mobile is pretty much digital. So it's the same rules that apply to PC. And, if it turns out that Sony's basically pulling the same tricks as Microsoft, and God help them if they find a way to spin it really well, better than what Microsoft was able to, then yeah, there might be a crash long overdue. It might even happen a lot sooner if they flop at the end of the year or early next. Yeah, people will still clutch to their existing 360s and PS3s like myself.
I hope it's not an all-out crash, because I know a lot of people in the industry that would be affected.
As I said, it might not. I may have exaggerated when saying crash without like adding context and scope. It will be a crash with like traditional consoles, mobile, and any other casual aspects of gaming will be unscathed because they appeal to a broader audience.
All right, Zaku, I got to let you go so we can wrap up the show. But thank you for your opinion. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye. You too. Don't get hit by lightning. All right.
I love when we get like really in-depth discussion like that, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Zaku does, you know, love Zaku or hate him when he gets on his train where he won't let me talk, but he's very passionate. And I love that. I love all your guys' passion. That's what this show is all about. All you guys.
And I love Utada Hikaru's passion.
I do. It's a good song.
Yes, it is.
Thank you guys for putting up with our internet up and down fuckery tonight. We really appreciate it. We'll be back next week. Next week is the big pre-E3 show. That is the week to lock in our predictions. And guess what, guys? You know we got to use this as an excuse to bring back Listless and the thing we most want to see happen at E3 2013. So be thinking about it now. We'll be back 1 week from tonight to do all that. But in the meantime, it's time to end tonight's show.
I just wanted to let you know that there was a mention of a very old joke when I was hanging out with Jammer J.
Oh, God.
Pantsless Rage.
Of course, of course. All right, look. Loki, any other last-minute stories before we wrap it up and say print?
Yeah, Shadow Warrior. You remember it's being remade? Well, the classic is available free on Steam forever. So go play it. And then finally, the Super Mario Brothers movie has celebrated its 20th anniversary. That's it.
All right.
One other thing that Steam does better than the Xbox One, the Alan Wake series on the Xbox 360 right now is $20, $4 on Steam. That's why people don't mind DRM, because you can get series of games for $4, or the Humble Bundle where you can get the entire franchise, like 20 games for $5. Yeah.
All right, that is going to do it there for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys very much for tuning into our show, whether it be live and putting up with the connection issues, or listening on the podcast feed, taking the time out to download us, or through an app like TuneIn or Stitcher or one of those. We really appreciate it no matter how you listen to the show.
And I would like to give a shout out to somebody who said she would be downloading the show.
Hmm.
To Blue Sigma from Tumblr.
More people that I don't know.
Thank you for listening to us from across the sea.
Thank you, stranger. Stranger Danger. If you want, you know what? If you want to help promote Orange Lounge Radio, all we ask is tell a friend. So get your friend on Tumblr or MySpace or
post
Facebook.
It on Tumblr with a picture of a cat, and I guarantee you'll have 50 reblogs in a second.
So just spread the word about our show. That's all we have. Don't spam, but spread the word about a show. Tell a friend. Tell somebody who might appreciate what we're doing here. And spread the love of independent podcasting. If you think our show is shit, then thank you for at least listening to the whole thing before you decided it was shit. Go download another great independent podcast. There's lots of great content producers out there. We've got a whole ton of them here at the Voice of Geeks Network. Everybody from Bobby Blackwolf, Understation Live, Girls Gone Wow, Anime Jam Session, Pod Culture, everybody here at the Voice of Geeks Network. We love being partnered up with them and beyond. Lots of great hardworking independent broadcasters out there. Good luck to those that were lucky enough to get into E3. I hope you guys can bring us some news that the mainstream press will miss. E3.vognetwork.com. Don't forget to do that to ask your questions. And I think that's really it. Now we can go around and get everybody's final thought. So my final thought tonight, I'll start, is that it's time to check in for my airline because I want a good seat. Loki, your final thought tonight.
AC's not working. Boo.
The AC's working here.
No, in my house.
Boo. Boo. Oh, you want to stay here tonight?
No, not working well, I guess.
Oh, that's still terrible.
Well, if the little one gets too warm, you and Nellie are welcome to bring him over to my
house.
I'll
just open the window. It's not going to be that hot tonight.
Where Midna will nibble his toes.
Get that thing fixed before it gets really bad. Be thankful you're not going to Phoenix tomorrow. Then, in that case. Dark Saga, your final thought tonight.
I have done 2 feet... and I'm attaching the major parts of the body of my scale mate. And when I am done with him, hopefully, because I never sleep, so it might be tonight, I will post pictures up.
Are they happy feet?
They're kind of deflated because they have no stuffing. But I could put them on my fingers and pretend they're real feet. See, look. Real feet.
Oh, there! You need a little picture of that for OLR.
I am scale mate feet.
Little pictures of you.
I think
feet.
I'm going to name my scale mate... Sir No Stuffing or something.
All right.
I'll name him Stouffer.
Okay, that's it. We're done. We're out of here. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Again, if you like the show, please help spread the word. We're an indie show. We don't have big money to be selling ads. We don't have the type of listener base that's going to give us $250,000 on Kickstarter. All we have is word of mouth, and we appreciate it. Have a wonderful night, everybody. See you next week for pre-E3-ness. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.